low around 40. Friday, sunny skies with a high in the lower 60s. Friday evening, clear with a low around 40. And Saturday, mostly sunny skies with a high in the upper 60s. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU under partly cloudy conditions. We have 45 degrees. Lambert Fields reporting some clouds and 45 as well. Stay tuned now. It's time for the award-winning wake-up call with your host, Liz Brown. She's up next. We'll take another look at your traffic and weather in the bottom of the 6 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
A simple answer to rebuilding the Gulf Coast is to trim waste out of the defense budget. But why is Congress afraid to touch the military? Because no one wants to be seen as weak on defense. Monday morning at 7, Lawrence Korb from the Center of Defense Information joins us on the wake-up call with a new report that shows up to $60 billion could be cut out of the $440 billion defense budget without harming a thing. Now, it may not be enough to do the whole job, but it is a great starting point to help Louisiana and Mississippi get back on the road to recovery. We'll look at some other defense programs that could be dropped because they're simply outdated. That's coming up Monday morning at 7 on the award-winning wake-up call.
For the past several years, you've heard WGNU's community calendar of events going on in and around the area. Ever wonder where the information comes from? The majority of it comes from our listening audience. If your nonprofit organization would like help promoting its events and ongoing operations free of charge, send all necessary information to calendar@wgnu.net. Please send the correspondence 2 weeks prior to any events. WGNU reserves the right to edit or reject submissions for reasons of time and content.
Wake Up Call family. We want to remind you that the second Wake Up Call blanket drive is now set for Friday, November 18th. And once again, we're partnering with our friends at Carver House to provide those in need in our community with the gift of warmth. This year, we've set a goal of collecting 5,000 blankets. And with your help, we know we can make it happen. The Wake Up Call blanket drive will have two collection points again this year. In the lobby of the Congress and Senate building, the home of WGNU Radio, at 265 Union Boulevard. And at Carver House, 3035 Bell Avenue. Again, that date is Friday, November 18th. The need is greater than ever, and we're counting on you, St. Louis, for 5,000 blankets. Don't forget, the second annual Wake Up Call Blanket Drive is Friday, November 18th, with a live broadcast from Carver House at 3035 Bell from 7 to 10 that morning. Thank you for what you did last year and what you will do this year.
Hi, I'm Marshall Falk of the St. Louis Rams. Hurricane Katrina has devastated Louisiana, Mississippi, Florida, and Alabama, but the real struggle has just begun. Hundreds of thousands have been forced from their homes, and many are without food, clean water, and shelter. But you can help. Don't sit on the sidelines. The victims of Hurricane Katrina need your support. Join the team and donate by visiting redcrossstl.org or by calling 1-800-HELP-NOW.
Influenza is a serious disease.
Are you talking to me?
If you have asthma, diabetes, or other chronic medical conditions, yes.
Are you talking to me?
If you're 50 or older, yes. If your child is between 6 and 23 months, yes.
Are you talking to me?
If you live or work with those at high risk, yes. Influenza will kill as many as 36,000 people this year. It's that serious. Prevent influenza. Get immunized. A message from the National Foundation for Infectious Diseases.
There is good news in the fight against breast cancer. The deaths from this disease are actually declining. But we can't celebrate too soon. The reason deaths from breast cancer are declining is because more and more of you are going through cancer screenings. And it is those screenings that are detecting it earlier and earlier when it's most curable. October is National Breast Cancer Awareness Month. If you're a woman over 40, take this opportunity to schedule your annual mammogram. If you're a woman of any age and are at high risk for developing breast cancer, talk to your doctor about how often you should receive screening mammograms. And share this with your sisters, mothers, wives, and daughters. If you need more information, it is easily available at www.radiologyinfo.org. Breast cancer deaths are on the decline. Let's keep it that way. Get the information you need about mammography screening from the Radiological Society of North America at www.radiologyinfo.org. It's becoming pretty obvious that the nomination of Harriet Myers to the Supreme Court will not happen. Even conservatives are getting off of her support wagon. Here's another interesting factoid. More money was spent on first week TV ads to support John Roberts' nomination to the court than were spent to promote Myers. Joining us Thursday morning at 8 to examine the Myers question is Deborah Goldberg, director of the Democracy Center at the Brennan Center for Justice. If she's not worth the effort, then why was she submitted? Such questions for discussion this morning at 8 on The Wake Up Call. Time now for another edition of The Wake Up Call with Liz Brown. Views expressed on this program are not necessarily those of the staff, management, or advertisers of WGNU Radio. This broadcast is a production of Norman Broadcasting Company, Incorporated, and WGNU Radio, and is intended solely for the information and entertainment of our listening audience. Any rebroadcast, transcribing, recording, or other use of this material without the expressed written consent of Norman Broadcasting Company, Incorporated, and WGNU Radio is strictly prohibited. We ask that you govern your calls within the bounds of brevity and good taste. And now, the wake-up call with Liz Brown.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brother, how can I listen? I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brother, how can I listen?
It is time for us to use our power. Please do not beg for power. Nobody is going to give it to you. You were born with power.
Some very sad news for all of you. The people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight. Remember? I will never say that progress has been made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below me.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brother, how can I listen?
But the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it. A struggle against the common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal, yet many are denied equal dignity.
And so we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
Welcome, 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 welcome to the morning wake-up call. This is Liz Brown, living my life as an African man, loving it. 454-0400 is the phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. You need to get up. You need to get to me. These are amazing times. These are amazing, amazing, amazing times. I don't know where we're going. I don't know. It is as if this country has decided No, no, not this country. Let me take that back. I don't know where this administration is going. And I bring this up because there's a movie out there called The History of Violence. And I saw it over the weekend. And it was a troubling film. Troubling and fascinating? Can it be both of those things? Troubling and fascinating? About the legacy of violence, that violence continues to follow you. And what a violent place we live in. Bush is talking about force against Syria. I mean, we've all been over here looking at the ball at Iran, but Bush is talking about force against both of them. Condoleezza Rice is talking about force against Iran. It is as if a segment of our population has come up with a wicked calculation and a soulless calculation, a godless calculation. It is as if this administration, and I'm afraid that there are a lot of people that are feeling this, that it is as if people are feeling that the way to propel yourself forward is to snatch life, to advocate violence, to talk it tough and swing a big stick indiscriminately. These are amazing and violent times that we live in. And the scary part of it, the chilling part of it, the breathtaking part of it, is the fact that folks can say this stuff out their mouth. There is a prosecutor, an attorney general in Virginia who's running for office. And he's running ads against his opponent, who is Catholic. Now, this is running for the governorship of Virginia. He's running ads against his opponent, and the ads say, or just, we're not going to call them attack ads. We're not even going to say they're against his opponent. This is the issue that this man is running on. That this Catholic man who has articulated that he doesn't, God says, don't kill anybody. This attorney general is running ads calling him incompetent and incapable of running a state because he does not believe in the death penalty. He is using Hitler in his ad to say that, for God's sake, this man said that he wouldn't kill Hitler if he had the chance. And because he doesn't believe in the death penalty, that he cannot run the state. Let me ask you this. How many of you out there, how many of your lives have been touched by a charge of death, the death penalty? I think it would be fair to say that the teeniest, tiniest portion of our society's life has been touched by the question of the issue of the death penalty. Now, let me ask you this. How many of your lives have been touched by a health care issue? Whether it's trying to get insurance, keeping your insurance, trying to find a doctor, being able to... A friend of mine told me the other day that because his son has asthma and he's 5, they're not going to insure him, huh? They don't insure unhealthy people, huh? So I ask you, because we've got to take back the behavior. We've got to demand the behavior that those that are elected into office deal with our issues instead of appealing to the worst in us. Because I submit to you, ladies and gentlemen of the jury, that the dude that is the most enthusiastic about wanting the option to kill somebody is the dude that is going to be the coldest to you when you bring him your problems. Because to be an enthusiastic pursuer of the death penalty, there's a coldness to you that you have to be. You have to disconnect from human existence to be out there saying, I want the right to kill, I want the right to kill, I want the right to kill. The government should be able to kill, and you shouldn't be in office unless you believe in the government's right to kill. What, you make that decision every 15 minutes? Come on! The person that is an enthusiastic advocate, an insistent advocate, a proud advocate of the government's ability to kill, we need to write another Bush on the Couch book about him or her. Because they are not going to feel your pain. And quite frankly, you need somebody in office that can feel your pain, rather than promise you that they will inflict pain. It's a scary place. It's a scary place that we're in. Enthusiastic embracers of the death penalty. And what that says about all of us that insist that that be made part of a person's right to decision to govern in this country. Healthcare comes up an issue of healthcare comes up every minute in anybody's administration. Oh, Jesus. We have much to talk about. Much, 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 much to talk about. Good morning, Mr. Doss. Good morning.
Hello.
Yes, Mr. Doss, good morning.
Good morning, how you doing?
I'm all right. How are you doing?
Oh, I'm better. Better than yesterday.
How is your family doing, Mr. Doss?
Huh?
How is your family doing?
They doing all right.
Mr. Doss, what? I don't even know what to ask you after your son Marlon was executed at just, 24 hours ago, a little over 24 hours ago?
Yes.
I don't even know what to ask you about where you are and what that must feel like.
Well, I'm back on the ground. I was in space, but I'm okay. You know, I've always felt that once you put God with you, then you're going to make it okay. So that's what I'm doing. It's going to be a day-by-day thing. You know, we really fought hard and long. 14 years of fighting, and now it's over with. So I got to go find another fight. Another fight will be aimed at our governor. Believe me, it ain't over.
And all of those that helped the governor, because Marlon wouldn't have been where he was if Jay Nixon hadn't put him there.
Exactly. Exactly. You know, he's trying to get the governor's job, so this is a a way to put a feather in his cap. And we need to wake up to that. All those nice black people need to wake up to that. Make sure you don't get in. And get the other one out.
These are just, I think that this is an opportunity for us to make it real in terms of how politics plays in our lives.
Exactly.
And to embrace that and to understand that we have a job out here to punish these people that do wrong and think that they can get away with it.
That's right.
Go ahead.
I just want the black community to stop being passive. You know, we've been passive so long. We turn our backs, and once we get a quarter over our hungry guts, we turn our back on a lot of things that's happening with us. We don't, we're going to get down with the roots, as I say. You know, people just stop and ask and say, well, what did he do? 14 years, you haven't heard about what he does? Supposedly been convicted of? Let's get a grip. That's all I got to say. Let's get a grip on life. We need to pay more attention to what's going on around us.
Mr. Doss, is there going to be a funeral for Marlon?
Yes, you know, I talked to you yesterday about a memorial service. That's been changed. You know, the family come together. My son, Mark, no, we can't just have a memorial service. We need to, so many people out there, especially in my church, St. Peter's, won't really have a closure with Marlon. So we're going to have a funeral and wake all at St. Peter's on Tuesday. Time, I'm not quite sure, Liz. I think it's 10 o'clock. And there will be a funeral following the wake at 11, I think. And it won't be a eulogy, but there will be testimony. You know, Marlon had a lot of friends down at Potosi. I'm talking about guards. They really believed in Marlon's innocence and still do. So I'm going to try to get a couple of those guys up here to give a testimony on Marlon.
And I would just if I could, give a suggestion in terms of the timing of it.
Yes.
If it's at 10 o'clock in the morning, it makes it kind of hard for a lot of people to get to it.
Yes.
You know, so just bear that in mind of the opportunity for the people that really care about Marlon to be able to
right.
to be part of it. So just think about that.
I will.
Okay.
I will.
All right. Mr. Doss, I'm so sorry.
And I just, you know, I'll take the opportunity, Liz, to thank you and so many people that was behind the situation, helping out. I don't know how to put it in words. You know, you reached out and you touched us. I'll never forget it. You and Janine Busby and Connie Johnson. There's just so many people. It's just really it's really heartwarming to see that we do have people like this out there.
There are a lot of folks, Mr. Dawson, and I hope that and I believe that what happened to Marlon will be a wake up call for a lot of people.
Right.
I think you may not know just how many people's hearts and minds and spirits have been touched by what has happened to Marlon. People do care. People just need to get involved.
Right.
Thank you, Mr. Doss. Our prayers are with you.
Okay, have a good day.
We're going to take a break. I'm Liz Brown. This is The Wake Up Call. Stay with me. We have so much, so much to talk about.
I thank my God. I've got something within me. Something within me, that banishes pain. Something within me, Lord, that I can't explain. All I know, I know.
Good morning, St. Louis. 35 minutes after the hour, 6 a.m., 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by Chevy. Eastbound 270 at New Halls Ferry, that accident has been cleared. Southbound 55 between Bates and Loughborough, there are paving operations. Two right lanes are closed. There are no delays at this hour. Northbound 55 between 141 and River de Pere, everything's on the move. Eastbound 44 from Bowles to Big Bend looks good. Eastbound 70 from 370 to Blanchett Bridge, no problems there. Eastbound 40 from Chesterfield Parkway all the way into Lindbergh, everything is flowing freely. Northbound 270 on either side of Gravoy and either side of 44, it is slow. Westbound 270 from Chain of Rocks all the way into New Halls Ferry, look for no problems to report there. Eastbound 70 at K and 79. Look for a very heavy volume going on already in your 6:30 commute. Westbound 5570 split is slow at the 55 exit as you cross the Poplar Street Bridge. Westbound 64 at the 5570 merge looks good. And northbound Route 3 at the PSB, everything is on the move. Westbound Kingbridge traffic from the Illinois Bank all the way into Laclede's Landing, everything is flowing freely. East Rock Creek Road at Old Limay Road, look for an injury accident. State Highway DD at Summers Road, look for an injury accident. And St. Charles Rock Road at 170, look for an accident as well. That's a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by Chevy. Been dreaming of a new car? Now's your chance. Chevy is offering incredible 0% financing on qualified buyers on select remaining 2005s. What are you waiting for? Take delivery by January 3rd. Length of contract is limited. Now taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and Saturday. Partly cloudy skies today, high around 60. This evening, mostly clear with a low around 40. Friday, sunny with a high in the lower 60s. And Saturday, mostly sunny with a high in the upper 60s. Currently at studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 45 degrees under mostly clear skies. Lambert Field is reporting some clouds and 45 as well. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning wake-up call. That's up next. We'll take another look at your news, traffic, and weather in the 7 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
Scientists and doctors are agreeing more and more that diet can determine whether a person lives a long, healthy life or a life full of unnecessary disease and even death.
I have diabetes, and after gradually changing my diet and getting more exercise, I've noticed my sugar level has become stable and my feet don't swell as much.
My blood pressure has been high for 3 years. Once I stopped eating salt and slowed down on eating oily foods, my blood pressure has gotten back to normal.
It seems like I gained weight just by looking at food. But now that I have the knowledge and most importantly the discipline to make conscious healthy choices, my whole life has changed.
Obesity, diabetes, and heart disease cause millions of deaths each year. Every 45 seconds, someone in America suffers from a stroke. Join the battle against these controllable and preventable diseases. Listen to Healthy Alternatives.
Create a healthy future today.
Today's solutions can be found when you join Dave Lenihan online at WGNU.net.
Did you know that you can have the leaf blocker gutter protection system installed by United Homecraft and eliminate gutter cleaning forever? In fact, they guarantee it. The best part is leaf blocker installs over your existing gutters. If your gutters are damaged and need to be replaced, United Homecraft can do that too. With one phone call, you can stay off that dangerous ladder, stop cleaning the mess from your gutters, and start enjoying yourself this fall. The leaf blocker system will also keep you from spending thousands of dollars in repairs to your home from water damage. Call United Homecraft today for a free no-obligation estimate and save 15% during your preseason sale. From Missouri or Illinois, call 1-888-731-2052. That's 1-888-731-2052. The Leaf Blocker Gutter Protection System from United Homecraft, one of St. Louis's oldest and largest contractors. United Homecraft is a participating member of the ITEX Trade Exchange. Your ITEX trade dollars are welcome.
The Wake Up Call Blanket Drive is set for Friday, November 18th. Volunteers are needed to man the two collection sites at Carver House, 3035 Bell Avenue, and the lobby of the Congress and Senate Building, the home of WGNU, at 265 Union. Blankets to be accepted that morning starting at 6 o'clock. The actual broadcast from Carver House starts at 7. If you can help us help those in need, call the WGNU business office this morning at 454-6660 or email your contact information to revolution@lizbrown.com. All volunteers receive a free second annual blanket drive t-shirt as a thank you. This is the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown. Don't leave home without it.
They say what's mine is mine, and what's yours is mine too. Now you've got more than you can spend. But all of the money in the whole wide world, it's not gonna help you in the end. Now while there's still time to be saved, don't take that attitude to your grave. Might be too late for you, I'm afraid. So don't take that attitude to your grave.
Oh Lord, oh Lord. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. Get up. Get to me. You're on the Wake Up Call. Good morning.
Good morning, Liz. How are you?
I'm outstanding.
I heard over yesterday's news around noon, after, well, something after 12 o'clock in the a.m., in the afternoon, rather, that St. Louis, Missouri, is the number one state in killing its citizens, and I think they named South Carolina as the second. Did you ever hear that?
I didn't hear that. I wouldn't be surprised. And I guess what comes to mind when you give me that information is ambition. I believe that we have in our governor's mansion a young man who envisions himself through the connections of his father. His father is a state or United States representative, a congressman from Missouri, who has patterned his political style after Tom DeLay, who has engaged in the type of connection with lobbyists to connections with legislation activities. We have a young man and an ambitious father connected to an indicted former head of the Republican majority in the House of Representatives. We have a young man with the ambition of being the President of the United States. He sees himself in the White House and what he is trying to do.
I didn't know that.
This is what I believe. This is what I believe. And you look at people with regard to politics, you look at what people do, and you can pretty much anticipate or predict why they're doing it. This is a young man who was attempting to build a resume to propel him into the White House. And he looks at the playbook of George W. Bush. George W. Bush had an orgy of executions in Texas. He executed more people, didn't care. He laughed at people that he was executing. He laughed at when the doctor was talking about sadistic things and activities of George W. Bush. He laughed at, was it Tucker, who was being executed after she said, please
this
don't.
This lady.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I remember that.
He laughed at her, and he was prideful of the orgy that Texas had of killing of executing people, of killing people. This man-child who sits in our governor's house is trying to do the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
Is trying to build a resume on bodies. And that's powerfully awful, but what is also equally awful is the man that is trying to unseat him, Jay Nixon, is also trying to build his resume on bodies, and that's foul in every sense of every letter of the word foul.
Very unfortunate.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we need to keep, since I'm a senior citizen, I haven't heard this ever. You know, I'm been on the top of the news, but this was really startling to me when I heard that yesterday.
And the reason you hadn't heard it ever is because there is a person in the gubernatorial house that is trying to build a resume based on bodies, a body count.
That's sad. Sad commentary.
Thanks for your call.
Have a blessed day.
You too. 454-0400 is my phone number. We're going to take a break. I'm Liz Brown. This is the wake-up call you need to get to me. We have much to talk about. Stay with me.
Some kids have and some kids don't. Some of us are wondering why. In my
listening to Radio Free St. Louis, WGNU Radio, 920 on your AM dial and at WGNU.net.
This is your wake-up call global news update. Dateline Karachi. A newspaper in Pakistan has published a story that says Al-Qaeda leader Osama bin Laden died several months ago of a severe illness. The publication, called Ausaf, said he had been campaigning at a village near Kandahar, Afghanistan, when he became seriously ill. He died a short time later and was buried in a graveyard outside Kandahar in the shadow of a mountain. American military has stated in the past that whether or not he's alive is no longer the main issue, as the war on terror is the objective at this point. Nevertheless, there's still a $25 million bounty out for him. And Dateline Washington. New emails have surfaced that indicate former director of FEMA, Michael Brown, was already planning to leave that agency several days before Hurricane Katrina struck the Gulf Coast on August 29th. Senator Susan Collins of Maine, chairman of the Senate committee looking into the disaster response, says that may explain why he seemed so disinterested in getting anything done. The emails also point out that the administration knew he was going to quit when he was asked to head the relief and rescue operations. Brown resigned on September 12th, but then Homeland Security cut him a deal at his full $150,000 a year salary to be a consultant. That deal was to expire 2 weeks ago, but the Senate committee has found out that the consulting job has now been extended for another month, meaning he's still on the payroll as of today. This is your wake-up call global news update.
Discover ways to help Smokey Bear prevent forest fires at the Columbia Bottom Conservation Area, 801 Strodman Road in St. Louis, on Saturday, October 29th from 10 to 11:30 a.m. Children ages 3 to 6 will enjoy a special visit by Smokey himself. To find out more, call 314-877-6014. Something to prevent forest fires from WGNU.
The Wake Up Call Blanket Drive is set for Friday, November 18th. Volunteers are needed to man the two collection sites at Carver House, 3035 Bell Avenue, and the lobby of the Congress and Senate Building, the home of WGNU, at 265 Union. Blankets to be accepted that morning starting at 6 o'clock. The actual broadcast from Carver House starts at 7. If you can help us help those in need, call the WGNU business office this morning at 454-6660 or email your contact information to revolution@lizbrown.com. All volunteers receive a free second annual blanket drive t-shirt as a thank you.
Talk radio station seeks volunteer callers. Age, race, and political persuasion not important. Flexible shifts. To respond, call Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920 WGNU at 314-454-0400. No experience necessary.
It's becoming pretty obvious that the nomination of Harriet Myers to the Supreme Court will not happen. Even conservatives are getting off of her support wagon. Here's another interesting factoid. more money was spent on first-week TV ads to support John Roberts' nomination to the court than were spent to promote Myers. Joining us Thursday morning at 8 to examine the Myers question is Deborah Goldberg, director of the Democracy Center at the Brennan Center for Justice. If she's not worth the effort, then why was she submitted? Such questions for discussion this morning at 8 on The Wake Up Call. Starting your day with information you can't get anywhere else. It's the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
A dedication to all the refugees worldwide. One time. Say, say, say. I remember when we used to sit in a government yard in Brooklyn.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. 2,000 dead. 2,000 dead. These are amazing times. These are amazing, amazing times. You're on the Wake Up Call. Good morning.
Good morning, Liz.
Yes, good morning.
Hi, I'm a long-time listener, first-time caller.
Well, welcome to the show.
I have a public announcement I would like to make. However, my prayers go out to Marlon's family and his father. I feel the pain and the grief from his family. 3 months ago, I had my youngest daughter, 31 years old, died of the results of a mistake that was made by the doctor in the Christian North East Hospital. So I can feel the pain. I would like to make a public announcement on this evening at the Unity Community Center at 2246 St. Louis Avenue, formerly the Grieber Center. Chief Joe Mocha of the Police Department will be our guest speaker there. We asked him, the community, to come out with the questions that they may be able to ask the chief of police. Thank you, Liz. All right. Enjoy your show.
All right. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. You're on the wake-up call. Good morning.
Good morning, Ms. Brown.
Yes, ma'am.
Good morning, Ms. Brown. Thank you for Mr. Gray's program and listening to him, and thank you so much for telling us about the young man, and my heart just goes out to the family, and I thank you so much for all the programs that you bring us, and you keep us informed, and I listen. I don't call too much, but I listen every day, and I thank you so much. And another thing, Ms. Brown, has anyone in the family ever thought about writing a book about him, Ms. Brown?
I do not know. That I do not know the answer to, Ms. Ruth. I don't know.
Uh-huh. Okay.
All
well,
right.
Thank you so much.
Certainly.
Take care. Bye-bye.
454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have so much stuff to talk about. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. You need to get up. You need to get to me. I want to share a couple of stories with you. I want to share an article with you, kind of to tee up where we are in this Valerie Plame leak case, because we're going to have Larry Johnson on in the next hour. He's an ex-CIA operative. He gave the Democratic response on the radio Democratic response last week. And he knows Valerie Plame, and he knows Mr. Wilson. And Larry Johnson is going to be our guest on the wake-up call in the next hour. But before we get to that, we need to get to this.
You don't have to travel all the way to the mall to visit your Sears. Why don't you visit the only black-owned and operated Sears located at 3425 Union. That's 3425 Union. Sears, where else?
It's Halloween, and that means it's time for monsters. I'm not talking about monsters on the street. I'm talking about a monster sale at 3425 Union Sears. That's Union and Natural Bridge. 20% cash back when you buy three appliances at $399 or more. 15% cash back when you buy two appliances at $399 or more with your Sears card. All kinds of wonderful, amazing deals going on their floor models, on their dented appliances, everything that you need, the wonderful sales on. You're going to need this for this winter. As you get ready for the spring, you're going to need these treadmills. Get on over to Sears. It's black owned, it's black operated, it's in your neighborhood. Get to Sears. Get your shop on. Whew, ladies and gentlemen, I want to share with you, if I might be able to take a minute or two of your time. There is a columnist who I read from time to time, but this particular column, I was talking with a good friend of mine about this column. This column blew my mind and also cleared the path. Maureen Dowd wrote a column on Saturday in the New York Times called A Woman of Mass Destruction, and it's about Judith Miller. I've always liked Judy Miller. I've always liked her. The traits that she has that drive many reporters at the Times crazy, her troopism towards powerful men, her frantic intensity, her peculiar mixture of hard work and hauteur, never bothered me. I enjoy operatic types. Once, when I was covering the first Bush White House, I was in the Times seat at the crowded White House press room, listening to an administration official's background briefing. Judy Miller had moved on from her tempestuous tenure as a Washington editor to be a reporter based in New York, but she showed up at this National Security Affairs briefing. At first, she leaned against the wall somewhere near where I was sitting, but I noticed that she seemed to be agitated about something. Midway through the briefing, she came over to me and whispered, "I think I should be sitting in the Times seat." It was such an outrageous move, I could only laugh. I got up, stood in the back of the room while Judy claimed what she felt was her rightful power perch. She never knew when to quit. That was her talent and her flaw. Sorely in need of a tight editorial leash, she was kept on no leash at all. And this hurt this newspaper and its trust with its readers. She more than earned her name, Miss Runamuck. Judy's stories about weapons of mass destruction fit too perfectly with the White House case for war. She was close to Omid Chalabali, the con man who was conning the neocons to knock out Saddam so he could get his hands on Iraq. And I was worried that she was playing a leading role in the disastrous echo chamber that the former Bob Graham dubbed incestuous amplification. Using Iraqi defectors and exiles, Mr. Chalabali planted bogus stories with Judy and other credulous journalists. Even last April, when I wrote a column critical of him, Judy Miller fired off an email to me defending him. Judy admitted in the story that she totally got it wrong. But if your sources are wrong, she said, you are wrong. But investigative reporting is not stenography. The Times story and Judy's own first-person account had the unfortunate effect of raising more questions. As Bill said in an email note to the staff on Friday, Judy seemed to have misled the Washington bureau chief, Phil Tallenbaum, about the extent of her involvement in the Valerie Plame leak case. Judy is refusing to answer a lot of questions put to her by Times reporters or even show the notes that she shared with the grand jury. I admire folks for aggressively backing reporters in the crosshair of a prosecutor. But before turning Judy's case into a First Amendment battle, the editors at the Washington or at the New York Times should have nailed her to a chair and extracted the entire story of her escapade. Judy Miller has told the Times that she plans to write a book and intends to return to the newsroom hoping to cover, quote, the same thing I've always done, threats to our country. Well, Maureen Dowd ends with this.
If that were to happen, the institution in most danger would be the newspaper in your own hands. Oh, by the way, the Times is firing Judy Miller. My name is Liz Brown. You don't want to miss the next hour. Larry Johnson, an ex-CIA operative. He got the dish. He got the dirt. You need to listen to this. He did the Democratic radio response. I'm Liz Brown. Stay with me.
You're coming all the way out. That's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below that below me.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Come to brothers.
WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis. 920 on your AM dial.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Liz White. They're partying like it's 1917 in Chicago.
Let's go, 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 White.
Celebrating the White Sox's first World Series win in 88 years.
Oh, my God, we're on top of the world, number one. Nobody, undisputed champions of the world, White Sox. How long have you been waiting for this? 11 years. My dad had season tickets back when I was 10. I've been waiting for too long, but this is great. It's a great feeling. Nothing can beat it.
They did it in a four-game sweep, beating the Astros last night in Houston with a single run in the eighth inning, knocked in by series MVP Jermaine Dye. Back in Chicago,
bring that trophy over here! Bring that trophy over here!
Fans chanting, bring that trophy over here, took to the streets to demand a look at the team's new hardware. Bad feelings in South Florida in the wake of Hurricane Wilma. ABC's David Muir is there.
Much of that frustration and anger comes from the millions of Floridians who still have no power and no fuel. Here in Miami Beach, a line of cars parked for blocks here since last night. Many people sleeping in their cars waiting for the gas station to open.
The headline this morning in the Miami Herald, running on empty. President Bush is due there today. More from ABC's Ann Compton.
President Bush will visit South Florida looking at damage, checking on deliveries of federal relief supplies, which were stockpiled before the hurricane hit. The trip will keep him out of Washington most of the day, while the rest of the White House staff anxiously awaits news from the federal courthouse just a few blocks down Pennsylvania Avenue. The White House spokesman says while the CIA leak investigation is underway, President Bush is concentrating on priorities such as cutting the federal budget to pay for hurricane relief. Ann Compton, ABC News, the White House.
Late word out of Iraq, 19 dead in a clash involving Iraqi police, Shiite militia, and Sunni insurgents. This is ABC News.
My friend Sarah and I are on a church trip, talking about signing up for the new Medicare prescription drug coverage.
I'm not sure what to do.
There's a lot of help out there. You can call 1-800-MEDICARE or compare the drug plans at Medicare.gov.
Stevie could show me.
Mm-hmm. Plus, there's help in the community. There was somebody at the church last week.
Was he good looking?
Sign up for Medicare prescription drug coverage begins November 15th. Call 1-800-MEDICARE or visit Medicare.gov. Paid for by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
In heating, one thing stands alone.
That would be me, your Carrier furnace.
A Carrier Infinity furnace is the most energy efficient you can buy and can save up to 40% on energy bills versus previous models. Now that's hardworking.
Unlike your alarm clock, how hardworking could anything be with a snooze button?
Whether it's saving up to $1,100 with cool cash, our special financing, or saving on energy bills, the Infinity furnace is one hard worker. Carrier, turn to the experts. Limited time offer, restrictions apply. See participating dealer for details.
Three U.S. soldiers dead in recent attacks in Iraq. The wife of a U.S. soldier was fired after seeing her husband off to war.
Suzette Bowler says it was a shock. The Michigan woman took an unpaid leave of absence to travel to Indiana with her husband, who's about to be shipped off to Iraq. Bowler says she told her employer, benefit management administrators, she would try to return October 17th, but no later than the 18th. The 40-year-old mother of three says she got a call on the 17th saying she was being fired. Bowler says she sat down on the floor and cried. The company says there were other factors involved, but would not elaborate. Brad Wheatless, ABC News.
It rained money on a morning commute in Green Bay, Wisconsin. $20 bills blowing away from a money bag that fell from an armored truck. People stuffed handfuls into their pockets and drove off. Most of the $80,000 recovered, but almost none of it went back willingly. One cop says, technically it's a crime of theft, not finders keepers. I'm Liz White, ABC News.
Good
Good morning, St. Louis. This is Patrick Brandmeier with your WGNU News Update for the 7 o'clock hour. In the news this Thursday, several Vashon High School students face expulsion after a widespread fight at the school yesterday. The incident began as a fight among a group of girls in the cafeteria and eventually involved more than 100 students. The school went into lockdown mode and police were called to bring the situation under control. No serious injuries are reported. St. Louis police are investigating what they call a suspicious death on the city's south side. A man was found dead under an overpass at Merrimack and Gravois around 2 o'clock yesterday afternoon. Police say witnesses reported seeing the man on the overpass shortly before his body was found. It's unclear how he fell off the overpass. Investigators say they don't believe the man was struck by a car. Leon Panetta is speaking out about the state of our nation's children. The Clinton administration's former chief of staff spoke yesterday at a Citizens for Missouri's Children luncheon about the future of the U.S. Panetta says we should always worry when there are kids who can't get a piece of the American dream.
There are about 12 million children in this country that are living below the poverty line. They're at risk of hunger, they're at risk for health problems, they're at risk in terms of education. Those kids are not going to be able to get ahead if we don't reach out and try to help them. We're not going to be a strong nation unless everybody gets a chance to succeed.
Panetta talked about the lack of leadership in this country, saying that if we don't do something about the country's massive debt, our children will have to pay it off. Panetta also said that leaders on both sides of the aisle aren't doing their jobs. Finally this hour, the Rams may be without the trio of Mark Bulger, Torrey Holt, and Isaac Bruce for a second straight game when they host the Jaguars on Sunday. Holt is listed as doubtful with a knee injury, while Bulger and Bruce are questionable. Bulger is nursing a sprained shoulder, while Bruce continues to fight turf toe. Cornerback Chris Johnson is also questionable, while quarterback Jamie Martin, cornerback Travis Fisher, and guard Claude Terrell are listed as probable. The Rams are also still not sure if they will have defensive end Leonard Little for Sunday's game, as he remains away from the team while grieving the death of his younger brother. This WGNU News Report is brought to you by GM Goodwrench. Let Mr. Goodwrench prepare your vehicle for the change in seasons with a comprehensive vehicle inspection. Because who knows what's down the road? Visit Goodwrench.com for a GM dealer near you. That's your look at local news for the 7 o'clock hour. I'm Patrick Brandmeier for Radio Free St. Louis.
Good morning, St. Louis. 7 minutes after the hour of 7 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at the Sowers traffic and weather. Sowers traffic is sponsored by FedEx Kinko's. Westbound 70 at the Blanchett Bridge, the debris that was on the roadway has been cleared. Galleria Parkway exit ramp or entrance ramp onto southbound 170. That accident reportedly blocking the ramp. Southbound 55 at Bates and Bayless. Look for paving operations. Two left lanes are closed. There are no delays. Northbound 55 between Mattis and 270. It is slow in the right lane. Eastbound 70 from Zumbel all the way into Earth City Expressway. Look for no problems to report there. Eastbound 44 between Bowles and Mraz Overpass. Everything's on the move. Eastbound 40 between Spady and Lindbergh. Heavy volume going on there. Northbound 270 at Tesson Ferry and Doherty Ferry. Slow traffic in pockets. Westbound 270 at West Florissant. Look for heavy volume going on there as well. Eastbound 70 between Route K and 79. Look for very heavy volume. Eastbound 40 between 141 and Mason Road. That traffic's building. Westbound 5570 split from 64 onto the PSB. Look for slow traffic in pockets. Westbound 64 at Ball Avenue and the 5570 split. It is slow there as well. Northbound Route 3 between 8th Street and the PSB, it's heavy traffic. And westbound Kingbridge traffic at Laclede's Landing looks good. East Rock Creek at Old Lemay, there's an injury accident. South State Highway DD at Summers, there's an injury accident. And St. Charles Rock Road at 170, there's an injury accident as well. And southbound 67 between Route 110, look for an injury accident that's off the roadway. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by FedEx Kinko's. Overnight, ground, or even the heavy stuff, you can always rely on the ultimate in reliable shipping. Relax, it's FedEx. Now taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and Saturday. Partly cloudy skies today, high around 60. This evening, mostly clear with a low around 40. Friday, sunny skies with a high in the lower 60s. Friday evening, clear with a low around 40. And Saturday, mostly sunny with a high in the upper 60s. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, under clear skies, we have 44 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting some clouds and 45. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning wake-up call. She speaks with Larry Johnson, the ex-CIA operative, up next. We'll take a look at your traffic and weather in the bottom of the 7 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brother, tell me, sister. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brother.
Welcome back to the wake-up call. This is Liz Brown. Our number here is 1-877-920-WGNU. We broadcast live on the World Wide Web at www.wgnu.net. The shows, the wake-up call shows, are archived daily at whiterosesociety.org. My email address is revolution@lizbrown.com. That's LIZZBrown.com. Website LizBrown.com. You want to fax me? 314-454-6609. You need to get up. We have much business, much business to take care of. We're not like George W. Bush, who was flying off to Florida. Lord, thank God for hurricane aftermath when you need one. Flying off to Florida. Isn't it interesting that he hasn't been down there yet? But flying off today, some say. Some might conclude, some might speculate that the reason why he's having some FaceTime with his baby brother in Florida has a little bit less to do with Floridians standing in line and waiting for supplies from FEMA, and more to do with the fact that there is speculation, thought, that today is the day that the special prosecutor, Patrick Fitzgerald, I believe is his name, may be coming down with indictments for the Inner Circle, for George W. Bush. I don't know, because George didn't call me. But I sure believe that that might be a possibility of why he's winging it to Florida. And because he can't wing it back to can't get back to Crawford, as much as he may need some vacation time. Crawford would not be politically expedient at this time. Who knew that this leak case would be what it is? Who knew that it was going to turn out like it is? We need to talk about this, because from my perspective, ladies and gentlemen of the jury, from my perspective, there are a lot of stories that, or maybe I should describe it as leak investigation falsehoods. At least that's what others have called it. Leak investigation falsehoods. And one of them is that, as we're here starting to hear this is anticipatory spin coming from folks that are protective of this administration and George W. Bush, and more specifically protective of their interest and their political futures. The anticipatory spin that we're hearing is minimizing the crime of perjury. Okay, I get that. I'm a lawyer. I get that. I understand why you're trying to go there. But the other anticipatory spin that's been percolating out here for a long time, helping to set up the framework for the after-indictment spin, is that Valerie Plame was not covert at the time of the alleged leak. We need to talk about that and other issues out here that seem to just be plain falsehoods that are out here in the larger media. My guest this morning to help shed some light on these falsehoods is Larry C. Johnson. Larry C. Johnson is CEO and co-founder of Berg Associates. That's an international business consulting firm that helps multinational corporations and financial institutions identify strategic opportunities. And Mr. Johnson is a former intelligence official at the CIA. And he's joining us this morning from Washington, D.C. Mr. Johnson, good morning.
Hey, how are you?
I'm outstanding. How are you?
I'm here.
You think there might be a reason why George W. Bush is in Florida?
Well, he doesn't have any place to go to get good news right now.
He really does.
You know, maybe Phil, you know, they say misery loves company. He decided maybe to go south and...
Maybe so. Well, he is a man in a whole lot of company.
Yeah.
If that is
absolutely
the case. You were in the CIA with Valerie Plame, but you didn't know her as Valerie Plame, did you?
Well, I knew her as Valerie P, just by the initial of her last name.
Why is that?
Just because they wanted to protect our identities from each other, even though we were all undercover. They wanted to limit the possibility that anybody could even expose one of our other classmates. And that's why I found it just so unbelievable to see that the Republican spin machine went out and was attacking her and trying to minimize what was done when they revealed her identity and her association as an employee of the Central Intelligence Agency.
Can you take us back a little bit? Because when you say classmate, you and Valerie entered the career training program in the same year, in the same month.
Correct. In September of 1985, we entered the career trainee program, which was, for most of us, was a year orientation program to the CIA, in which you got exposed to all aspects of it and went through a variety of training, including how to conduct operations in the field, recruiting spies, up to and including paramilitary operations, and jumping out of airplanes and doing maritime insertions and a whole, you know, it was fun.
And I no doubt intense. No doubt intense.
Pardon?
No doubt intense.
Oh, yeah. No, very, you know, it is very intense and very competitive because the CIA has always been pretty selective in who they hire. And so you get everybody showing up thinking, you know, they're the ultimate hot shot, and, James Bond type, and trying to prove themselves. And then when you're up there competing against a bunch of other people, you know, you get some hot dogging going on. But well, the thing about Valerie during that period was that she was 22 years old, you know, one of the younger members of the group, excuse me, and she always conducted herself in a very professional, low-key manner.
But she had to be, just knowing the history of this country and knowing the challenges that we have yet to meet, she had to be an extraordinary person. And in 1985, as a woman, to be successful in a CIA training program like this.
Well, actually, the CIA was always pretty good with its women advancing them.
Mm-hmm.
It really depended upon the part of the CIA.
Mm-hmm.
Because there had been some problems with other... on the case officer side, they claimed that they didn't get advanced as quickly. But, you know, at the end of the day, it was...
But she still had to be, comparatively speaking, it's an extraordinary thing for a woman to be a member of the CIA.
Yeah, it's very stressful.
Mm-hmm.
And for a woman, it can put them in some difficult situations that are not as uncomfortable for men. But, you know, she got right into the middle of it and did very well. And, you know, again, I come back to the betrayal. She was betrayed by her country when George Bush and Dick Cheney and the people that work for him allowed her name to get out, and they used it for petty political reasons.
And talk to us about why this is such an important issue for you, why it is so important that the country understand that Valerie Plame was undercover.
Yeah, not only was she undercover, she was under what's known as non-official cover. The difference between official and non-official cover is that official cover gives you a black diplomatic passport, and when you travel overseas, if you are caught in the act of carrying out espionage activities, you will receive protections under the Geneva Convention. Whereas if you're a non-official cover officer, and if you are detected and caught engaged with espionage activity, you won't have that protection, and you can be easily executed.
Mm.
So that's what Valerie was doing. Now, it's true she was in the process of converting from non-official to official cover, but at the same time, that still meant she was undercover, and she was not going to acknowledge and openly admit that she had a job with the Central Intelligence Agency. And so by opening, you know, betraying her, not only did the administration sources responsible for this destroy her ability to continue to work as a case officer. But the other thing they did is they actually destroyed an intelligence network that existed overseas.
And that's really one of the stories and one of the components that the larger press doesn't seem to really be willing to delve that deep into. A lot of people have gone down with this exposure of Valerie.
Yeah, prior to this week, I've found it very difficult to get many in the press to really focus upon what was done and to appreciate the damage. Slowly but surely, they're coming around.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the good news. But it's taken an awful long time.
How do you describe to the media the depth of the damage that has been done by her exposure? Because they're also undercover, too. So how do you make people understand that?
Well, actually, the American public probably will never really know the full extent of the damage. I mean, I give you the example of the betrayal by Aldrich Ames, a CIA employee who sold secrets to the Soviet Union. To this day, the full extent of the damage that he caused has not been publicly discussed or released. And I know that was extraordinarily significant. Knowing what I know about how NOCs operate and the kind of work that Valerie was engaged in, there's no other conclusion but that when she was revealed and the company that she was allegedly working for was revealed to the public, that important intelligence resources were destroyed. And that may include even the loss of life of individuals who had agreed to work for the United States.
Is Valerie Plame's life in jeopardy as a result of her cover being exposed like
that? Initially, she received, she was notified by the FBI that she had received a specific threat from Al-Qaeda operatives who were reportedly coming to the United States to attack her and two other people.
Because as a result of this exposure, they know where she lives.
Yes. Yeah, it's like they will give you the roadmap, folks, and make it easy for you.
They can do a MapQuest search and find it.
Yeah, it's, and that's one of the, you know, the, one of the reasons that Ambassador Wilson himself was just so outraged over this act of betrayal. Because there's no other way to describe it. It is pure and simple an act of betrayal by this government, and it betrayed the trust that they had put within the president, who, you know, when he took an oath of office, he swore to uphold and defend and protect the Constitution. And while this is not necessarily an attack on the Constitution, it is a betrayal of the trust that he was supposed to have, the bond of trust with the intelligence community.
You said in an address on Democratic radio that we deserve, quote, we deserve people who work in the White House who are committed to protecting classified information, telling the truth to the American people. And do you believe that this White House does not, has not, and is incapable of doing that?
They haven't demonstrated it so far. What they have clearly shown is that if you're not on political side of the fence that they think you ought to be on, they will use the full resources of the federal government to attack you. You know, frankly, you know, we're still haven't found Osama bin Laden. I think if they would have devoted just half the resources that they've devoted to going after Joe Wilson and Valerie, that they would have found and captured the guy responsible for the attacks on 9/11. But instead, they've decided to use the power of the federal government to attack private citizens. And that's what's really so outrageous, that you know, you expect your government to be out looking out for the public welfare by going about smearing private citizens and using innuendo and lies to try to disrupt their lives, as they have.
What kind of impact does this have on the CIA in terms of recruitment, in terms of keeping intelligence officials working within the institution?
It makes it very difficult to go out and continue to recruit people and to go over and recruit agents overseas, because it is to make them doubt that you're serious about protecting their lives. And so that breach of trust, I think, is just extraordinarily significant. We don't really appreciate that you don't rebuild trust and credibility overnight after an incident like this.
Do you have a chance to sit around and talk with your friends still within the intelligence community? What's their sense? Do they feel like you feel that this has been a betrayal by this administration?
Yeah, we had a group letter come out just before last summer that was signed by 12 different intelligence officers and people who had served in the CIA. And, you know, politically, we represented people from just across the spectrum. It wasn't just all, Bush haters. But to a man and woman, everyone felt that this was just an outrageous act on the part of the administration and needed to be dealt with publicly, quickly, and effectively.
What do you think that George W. Bush should do at this point? What would be the thing that would renew your respect for a man that you said that has no longer, who didn't bring a new tone and bring a new ethical standard to Washington? Because you voted for George Bush.
Yeah, no, I think it'd start by relieving Karl Rove and Scooter Libby of their duties, escorting them out of the White House, and sending a very clear message to the staff. He said, I will not tolerate this kind of behavior on my watch and among my staff. And I expect a higher ethical standard from you, and therefore I will, you know, punish anybody that fails to live up to that standard. But he's been unwilling to do that, unfortunately. He's, you know, protecting his boys, so to speak. And when you're playing that kind of, protect folks who really don't deserve that protection, you send a message that personal loyalty, cronyism is more important than the national security of this country.
I noted a few seconds ago that you voted for Bush in 2000. Are you surprised?
I've got to tell you, I was shocked at this kind of behavior and this kind of action. I remember thinking that when Bush was first elected, I said, thank God we've got some adults back in the White House. And I've come to regret that we got worse than children. We've got some, malicious folks who have taken this country to war and are directly now responsible for the deaths of 2,000 soldiers. And it'd be one thing if they had some of their own children out there fighting, but their children are, going about their business here in the United States while they send other people's children overseas to die. And, when you don't have your own kids' skin in the game, I just have no respect for them.
How many members of Congress have any of their children?
Oh, a very, very, very small number, just a couple. I know Senator Tim Johnson, I think, has had his son was involved, and there have been a couple of other members of Congress. But by and large, most members of Congress, Republican and Democrat alike, don't have their kids over there in the fight.
Mr. Johnson, what does this do in terms of the leak of Valerie Plame, and the clearly partisan leak and the clearly punitive leak of Valerie? What does this do to reputations? Because that has been one of the things that this country has suffered as a result of this administration, that our reputation is sagging all over the world. Does this have an impact on our reputation?
Oh yeah, no. You want more to be understood that you're professionals with your intelligence service, and that when you go over and try to recruit people to be spies, because remember, when you're asking people to spy and deliver information to you for the U.S. government, that you're asking them essentially to betray either their country or to betray a group, and in either case, that group's going to view them as traitors. And they're going to be angry with them if they discover that, in fact, that they were engaged with this activity. So, it's one of those things that you have to, you're able to recruit people like that because you do build trust. And this outing of Valerie was a breach of trust.
And does it also say to a potential operative on working on behalf of the United States that if they would out one of their own, what good do I have coming towards me?
Oh, sure. No, I mean, you're absolutely right. It's a chilling message, but it's sent loud and clear that, this group that's currently in the White House, that they're ruthless. They will do whatever it takes to protect themselves, regardless of the consequences for the American people or the nation security.
And we need to take a quick break. I'm talking to Larry Johnson, former intelligence official with the CIA. He's joining us from Washington, D.C. We're talking about Valerie Plame. We'll take some of your calls at 454-0400, 1-877-920-WGNU. Get in, get to us. We'll be back after this.
When somebody here listen to the fear that's gone.
Good morning, St. Louis. 32 minutes after the hour, 7 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by Southwest Airlines. Eastbound 44 between the Merrimack River Bridge. Look for an accident. The right shoulder is blocked, and it's backed up all the way to Merritt's at this hour. Westbound 70 at Mid Rivers Mall. There's no sign of that reported ladder that was on the roadway. Northbound 55 between Mattis and 270, slow traffic in the right lane. Eastbound 40 between Spady and Lindbergh is also slow. Northbound 270 from 55 to 44, look for stop-and-go traffic. Westbound 270 from Old Halls Ferry to West Florissant, and it is heavy volume there. Eastbound 70 at KN 79, look for heavy traffic going on at eastbound 40 between 141 and Mason. You've got heavy volume going on as well. Southbound 170 at Brentwood Boulevard and the Galleria Parkway, look for heavy volume going on after an earlier accident on the ramp from the Galleria. Westbound 5570 from 64 onto the PSB, slow traffic in pockets. Westbound 64 between Bowell Avenue and 5570 Merge, look for slow traffic as well. Northbound Route 3 from the Poplar Street Bridge, everything's on the move. Westbound Kingbridge traffic at Laclede's Landing, everything is looking good. Southbound US 67 at Route 110, look for an injury accident off the roadway. And West Florissant and Riverview, those traffic lights are not working, so they may be on red flash. So use caution as you roll up to that intersection. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by Southwest Airlines. Southwest has 3 daily flights from St. Louis to Fort Myers, Naples. Are you thinking what they're thinking? Maybe it's time to see Fort Myers, Naples. Visit southwest.com today for more details. Now taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and Saturday. Partly cloudy skies today with a high around 60. This evening mostly clear with a low around 40. Friday, sunny skies with a high in the lower 60s. And Saturday, mostly sunny with a high in the upper 60s. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU under mostly clear skies, we have 45 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting 44 and clear skies as well. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call that's up next. We'll take another look at your news, traffic, and weather in the 8 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
The Wake Up Call blanket drive is set for Friday, November 18th. Volunteers are needed to man the two collection sites at Carver House, 3035 Bell Avenue, and the lobby of the Congress and Senate building, the home of WGNU, at 265 Union. Blankets to be accepted that morning starting at 6 o'clock. The actual broadcast from Carver House starts at 7. If you can help us help those in need, call the WGNU business office this morning at 454-6660 or email your contact information to revolution@lizbrown.com. All volunteers receive a free second annual blanket drive t-shirt as a thank you.
Direct from Austria, the Spanish Riding School of Vienna, in their first North American tour in over 15 years. This rare visit salutes the 60th anniversary of General Patton's rescue of the Spanish Riding School and the Lipizzaner breed. For over 400 years, the unique and beautiful dancing white stallions have thrilled audiences around the world. Don't miss this incredible experience, the Spanish Riding School of Vienna.
The Savas Center, November 12th and 13th. Tickets now at the Savas Center box office and all Ticketmaster outlets. To charge by phone, 314-241-1888. Presented by Audi.
Hi, friends. Heloise here for CitraCal Calcium Citrate. I have a hint for women who are concerned about hormone replacement therapy and osteoporosis. Take CitraCal every day and do weight-bearing exercises regularly. Recent studies prove that this winning combination increases bone mass. That's right, just CitraCal and exercise. For something this important, please don't settle for store brands. Insist on CitraCal. Be a CitraCal gal like me.
A simple answer to rebuilding the Gulf Coast is to trim waste out of the defense budget. But why is Congress afraid to touch the military? Because no one wants to be seen as weak on defense. Monday morning at 7, Lawrence Korb from the Center of Defense Information joins us on the wake-up call with a new report that shows up to $60 billion could be cut out of the $440 billion defense budget without harming a thing. Now, it may not be enough to do the whole job, but it is a great starting point to help Louisiana and Mississippi get back on the road to recovery. We'll look at some other defense programs that could be dropped because they're simply outdated. That's coming up Monday morning at 7 on the award-winning Wake Up Call. Informative, educational, provocative. This is the award-winning Morning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
Redemption songs. Emancipate yourselves from mental slavery. None but ourselves can free our minds. Have no fear for atomic energy, cause none of them can stop the time. How long shall they kill our prophets while we stand aside and look?
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown. I am talking to Larry Johnson. He's a former intelligence official with the CIA, and he's joining us from Washington, D.C. Mr. Johnson, welcome back.
Yeah, good to be with you.
I'm looking at your resume, and I'm looking at the fact that you have analyzed terrorist incidents for all kinds of media. You were even a Fox News contributor. You've authored several articles. You've lectured on terrorism, aviation, security around the world. When George Bush got into office after 9/11 and said, let's go get Saddam Hussein because they're weapons of mass destruction, did you believe it? Did you think that it made sense as a strategy?
Uh, I I thought going to war was not really justified, but I thought that there needed to be a plan to deal with Saddam. I did also think that the claims about Saddam and terrorism were grossly exaggerated and just not true. You know, he was presented as a threat to the United States, and in fact, it had not been implicated in any significant terrorist attacks against U.S. citizens or U.S. targets since probably 1993, and that was only one failed attempt.
Was that the common consensus among?
You all knew
who Saddam was more than anybody else. Didn't somebody know that this guy wasn't a threat, that had all the records for that?
People didn't want to hear that. I mean, I remember having an email exchange with Jerry Bremer, who later went on to be the administrator for the coalition in Baghdad. And Jerry just told me, he says, look, nobody wants to hear about Saddam is not a threat. We're going to war. So, you know, the die was cast, the decision was made, and it was regardless of the facts on the ground, which is, you know, when you look back on it, is just a terrible tragedy because we've now, over 2,000 American men and women are dead in Iraq, and the consequences of that policy has led to a dramatic increase in terrorist attacks around the world and is serving as a major recruiting drive for Islamic extremists.
This country, through this administration, is now making noise about Syria and making noise about Iran. From your perspective, would it make sense, does it make sense to go after them as well?
Not militarily. The only one you could possibly talk about doing something from a retaliatory standpoint is Iran. Iran is the one country that has a 25-year track record of carrying out terrorist attacks against the United States, and we've never really retaliated against them for it. I think going into Syria militarily is just idiotic, and the attempts to drive the drumbeat of war for that is beyond foolish. It's dangerous and it's irresponsible. The fact of the matter is Syria is willing to talk with and negotiate with the United States, and there is a basis for working out an accommodation with them. This administration seems just hell-bent on, you know, starting another war if they can. And, you know, again, it's not their kids that they're sending to fight. It's the sons and daughters of the average Americans.
Now, you said that Iran has a history of assault against this country.
Right.
Do we put in the hands of this administration the plan, or do we support this administration, given what they have done with Iraq, to be in the driving seat in any kind of retaliatory action against Iran?
No, I think at this point they've forfeited what I would call the benefit of the doubt. So if they're going to make a case to go to war, they're going to have to make it hard and fast. I mean, in the lead-up to the war in Iraq, the one thing that puzzled me and others was the fact that while, you know, when we looked at Colin Powell's presentation, some of it seemed persuasive, but some of it was... we then shortly found out afterwards that it was not true, it was false, particularly those mobile biological labs. I mean, you know, I work a lot with U.S. military special operations forces, and I knew that stuff is just utter nonsense, because you can't put together a kind of lab that's going to produce lethal biological agents in the equivalent of a Winnebago. It's just, you know, that's the stuff of a Hollywood B movie.
But yet and still we have the Secretary of State saying in front of God and everybody that this is what's going on.
Yeah, and it now he regrets that describes it as one of the low points of his career. Well, that's well and good. And his chief of staff within the last week, Lawrence Wilkerson, has come out and described this cabal of you know, an unholy alliance between the vice president's office and the Secretary of Defense's staff, in which decisions were made and other elements of the government were kept out of the loop, and policy decisions that have now had great adverse consequences for the United States were taken. So, and it's too bad that they didn't stand up back then and you know, throw the red flag and blow the whistle.
But for those of us that aren't part of those inner circles, for those of us that are not in the highest seats of government, it's troubling to sit back and to hear I woulda, coulda, shoulda at this point in time, given the fact that we didn't have that information and they did.
Yeah, no, I agree. Listen, it's just when you think government couldn't be any worse or more responsible, here they go and show us a new level in the depths of hell, so to speak.
Clinton doesn't look so bad now, does he?
No, listen, I think, you know, Clinton, in retrospect, still, he squandered some enormous opportunity. He remained very popular, but he did not do the damage to this country and to our national security interests by any stretch, by any measure. He left the country in relatively stable shape, both economically and militarily. But this administration has just embarked upon a wild spending spree and has decided to go it alone in many instances, and in the process of going it alone has alienated people that, you know, frankly should be in the boat rowing with us.
You are a registered Republican.
Still.
Do you think that the Republican Party has forfeited its right to maintain that it is the party of fiscal responsibility and the leadership party on military issues?
Well, I say there was everything bad we used to say about Democrats, the Republicans have done. And so I think it's time for, I don't know if it's the Democrats will pose the answer. I'm just waiting for somebody to stand up and say, hey, you know, Let's get America back on the right track, and let's come in with a real vision. The Republicans, I think, have forfeited it. I mean, I'm just astonished that we find Republican members of Congress and others running around excusing the outing of an intelligence officer, making justifications for a flawed military policy on the ground in Iraq, and not requiring accountability. I mean, you know, it's just like, I don't know if you saw in the news this morning, you got Jeb Bush down in Florida taking responsibility.
So-called.
For that debacle, and then he goes, yeah, but it's your fault you didn't go out and get water beforehand. You know, come on.
And he also said something to the effect of, well, we wouldn't be getting this kind of attention about what's going wrong here if we weren't Florida, huh? You had Wilma.
Yeah, you know, come on. It's just, you guys get elected and get put and trusted with the public welfare. And, you know, take care of it. You know, take care of business.
And mean it when you say I'm taking responsibility for something.
Amen.
We're going to take a break, folks. I know there are a lot of you that have some questions. I am talking to Larry Johnson. He's a former intelligence official with the CIA. He's joining us from Washington, D.C. And I am Liz Brown. This is the Wake Up Call. Stay with us. We'll be back.
You were there for me. Call on your name. You came. You did. Just what you said, for that I'll love you forever. You kept your word to me, for that I'll love you forever. A promise is a promise in my eyes. Can't say you're gonna just to compromise.
This is your Wake Up Call Global News Update. Dateline Oman. Preliminary geological studies indicate there could be a huge reserve of oil in an area of eastern Jordan. Sonoran Energy says its findings lead it to conclude there may be as much as 30 million barrels of oil in a grid of over 11,000 square kilometers in the Azraq region of the country. A spokesman for the company says there is a very good chance that other areas in Jordan may have significant oil reserves as well, and that further speculation is indeed warranted. And Dateline Belgrade. A former Serbian commander has come forward and said he was part of an anti-aircraft missile battery that shot down a U.S. F-117A stealth fighter back in 1999. Colonel Zoltan Dani said the shootdown took place during the 78-day NATO campaign over Serbia. The loss of the plane cast doubts about the concept of stealth technology on which the American Air Force has based its newest generation of warplanes. Analysts said if an older air defense such as Serbia's could knock out a high-tech plane, how could those planes be successful against an opponent who had more sophisticated weaponry? Dani said the fighter was shot down on a clear night by a Soviet-made surface-to-air missile that had a slight modification made to the guidance system in the warhead. The F-117 was one of only two Allied planes that was shot down during that conflict. The other was an F-16 fighter, which was also hit by the same type of SAM missile. Donnie said his old unit has a reunion every March 27th, the day the plane was shot down, and they always have a cake that's baked in the shape of the aircraft. This is your wake-up call Global News Update.
Ever hear of the Restore?
Yeah, where is it?
3763 Forest Park Avenue, east of Vannevar, west of Spring.
What's in the Restore?
It's an eclectic mix of new and used building materials.
Like cabinets, stoves, hardware?
Absolutely. Everything from windows and doors to the kitchen sink, and then some.
And your purchases benefit Habitat for Humanity St. Louis, right?
Yes, they do.
I gotta check this out. When's the Restore open?
Tuesday through Saturday, 9 to 4.
3763 Forest Park Avenue.
The Restore. Check it out.
The Wake Up Call Blanket Drive is set for Friday, November 18th. Volunteers are needed to man the two collection sites at Carver House, 3035 Bell Avenue, and the lobby of the Congress and Senate Building, the home of WGNU, at 265 Union. Blankets to be accepted that morning starting at 6 o'clock. The actual broadcast from Carver House starts at 7. If you can help us help those in need, call the WGNU business office this morning at 454-6660 or email your contact information to revolution@lizbrown.com. All volunteers receive a free second annual blanket drive t-shirt as a thank you.
You don't have to travel all the way to the mall to visit your Sears. Why don't you visit the only black-owned and operated Sears located at 3425 Union. That's 3425 Union. Sears, where else?
That's right, 3425 Union Sears. It's Halloween weekend. That means it's time for the monster sale at Sears at 3425 Union. Great deals. 12% off of already reduced, scratched, and dental floor models. 20% cash back when you buy three appliances at $3.99 or more with your Sears card. 15% off of all appliances when you purchase appliances $399 or more. Great deals. It's a great time. Do not miss the Halloween monster sale at Sears, 3425 Union, Jerome Williams, Sears. Get your shop on.
Around the world, behind the story. It's the award-winning Wake-Up Call with Liz Brown.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown. My guest this morning is Larry Johnson, former intelligence official with the CIA, joining us from Washington, D.C., and we're going to go to some of the phone calls and questions that we have for our guests as we discuss the outing of Valerie Plame. Hassan, you have a question for our guest.
Good morning, Liz.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm outstanding.
And welcome to your guest.
Thank you.
A quick two-parter. Firstly, sister, I must thank you for the copy of the book that you gave me when you had Dr. Frank. We'll get back to that. I'll have to call you another time.
Bush on the couch is what you're talking about.
Oh, yeah, Bush on the couch.
All right, go right ahead. With your question, please.
I would like your guest to comment on my feelings that this is a government that is operating on intimidation and probably even blackmail, working on the premise that we all have at least one or two skeletons in our closet. From the Dixie Chicks all the way down to Senator Dick Durbin from Illinois. Everyone who has come out against this administration has wound up recanting. And I want your guest, Brother Johnson, to comment on the fact that I think these people are being blackmailed, because especially Dick Durbin, he was absolutely right in his comments about this administration and the war. Thank you very much, and another wonderful guest, Liz.
Thank you.
He's exactly right. The list of people who have come out and spoken truth and been smeared is just it's long and growing. Whether you start with the chief of staff of the Army, Eric Shinseki, who warned that they were going to need hundreds of thousands of troops to effectively settle Iraq, and he was ridiculed and told that he didn't know what he was talking about, or Richard Clark, when he came out and reported on Al Bush was asleep at the switch and dealing with terrorism during his first 9 months in office. And he was attacked, but we now know that that's true. So this tendency to use the power of the federal government to attack its own citizens is just outrageous.
You've been part of the CIA since 1985. You've seen a few administrations percolate through the White House. How does this administration compare?
It's the worst. It is the absolute worst. They are at war with the CIA. Several of my friends and I have commented, half-tongue in cheek, that the Soviet KGB never did as much damage to the Central Intelligence Agency and intelligence community as this group of people have done. And in the process, though, and it's not funny, is they're putting American lives more at risk. And this is just absolutely wrong.
There are a lot of people in the press and Fox, which is the place that you used to be a commentator for, downplay this Valerie Plame story, say that it is not reaching the ears, the eyes, the heart, the interests of the American people. It's inside the beltway type of a story. What's your response to that?
It's a reminder, and that this sounds a little over the top, but when you go back and look at Nazi Germany, how the government controlled the media and was able to get only certain messages out to the people, that's one of the hallmarks of a fascist state. And unfortunately, if this is not this administration to accuse them of engaging in a fascist relationship with the media. You remember this Jeff Gannon Guckert, a male escort prostitute, who was also allowed to go into the White House and ask planted questions. You had the
Armstrong Williams.
Armstrong Williams. People, several columnists being paid money to put out the administration line. So, this is, and right now the way most of the corporate media goes is they're more than willing to just go along and not engage. Issues. And in fact, the reason I got dumped off of Fox because Rupert Murdoch got apparently called by somebody at the White House who didn't like what I was saying because I was undermining people's confidence in America. So,
good thing
I know for a fact that Murdoch was the one who directly sent the orders down to get rid of him.
Good thing you weren't working for the CIA at the time, huh?
Yeah, well, that's you got problems right out there right now with, they look at Judith Miller, who was in the hip pocket of the administration, and
I think she's someplace.
Whistleblowers don't come out, because why should they come out and put themselves at risk?
Let me get to another caller question. Dimitri, you have a question for our guest, Larry Johnson.
Yes, good morning, Liz.
Good morning,
Mr. Johnson.
Good morning, sir.
I served in an intelligence unit in Great Britain during World War II, and I knew of a Jewish organization that was working out of Trinity College in Cambridge. And they were preparing lists of names of people who committed crimes against Jews that they were going to hunt down after the war was over. My question to you is, do you know of any organization that's doing the same thing in this country of taking names down of people who commit crime, war crimes and crimes against humanity?
Up to this point, no, I'm not aware of any.
Is there another question, Dimitri?
Yes. I was wondering that as long as you worked at the CIA, aren't you placing yourself in jeopardy by exposing all of this information?
No, I was. When I came out, I'm not exposing anything that's classified. When I came out, my cover was lifted. I talk about what is out there in the public, but there's, things that are classified and the identities of people that I worked with. That are undercover, I don't reveal those, divulge those, or get into specifics about sources and methods.
Have you talked to Valerie Plame?
Yes.
And what is she thinking now?
She's feeling betrayed and abused. To have to sit quietly, because she can't go on television and defend herself, but she still works for the Central Intelligence Agency.
I think a lot of people forget that is still her job.
Yeah, no, she still goes to work every day, but her ability to progress in her career was destroyed by these guys. Because, her career track was to be a clandestine officer, to be, in the shadows. And now she's been forced into the limelight. And in the process of that, she's, not really free to speak, not... can't defend herself, watches these false attacks on her husband. She has two small children.
That was the other piece I was going to ask you about. She has twins.
Yeah. You know, the kids, I guess, are now about 4 years old, and they have to watch Mommy and Daddy's name just be, you know, smeared across the television screen.
Well, even that aside, if we could put that aside, doesn't she now have to worry about the safety and the security of her children?
Yes, no, absolutely. So this has been a terrible thing, and I'm taking comfort in the professionalism and integrity that's been shown so far by Patrick Fitzgerald, because he's shown that he's taken this very seriously, and he's pushed it, you know, in every direction that he can.
And give us a prediction. I'm handing out prizes to the people that get the closest date and time of when the indictments come down. Indictments coming down, who are they going to come down for?
The indictments should be announced, I think, tomorrow afternoon by at least 3 o'clock. And we should expect to see at least indictments brought against Karl Rove and Scooter Libby. There will be at least 2 unindicted co-conspirators.
Larry Johnson, thank you so much for joining us on the Wake Up Call this morning.
Thank you, Liz. My pleasure.
Listen, folks, Liz Brown, Wake Up Call. We'll be back after this news break. Please, stay with us.
You pull it all the way out. That's not Broadway.
WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis. 920 on your AM dial.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Liz White. Breaking news from the White House. Harriet Myers has withdrawn her name from consideration for the U.S. Supreme Court. That word just in. Details from ABC's Ann Compton at the White House.
President Bush has withdrawn Harriet Myers' nomination to the Supreme Court, making it clear it was Myers' decision. He says in a written statement that it's clear senators would not be satisfied until they gained access to some of Harriet Myers' internal documents here at the White House, documents he will not release because of executive privilege. Harriet Myers' name now withdrawn, and the president said he will hurry to find another nominee to the Supreme Court.
ABC's Ann Compton at the White House, running on empty. That's the headline in today's Miami Herald. Days after Hurricane Wilma hit South Florida, power and gas are in short supply.
The issue is not the supply of gas, it's the power needed to pump the gas. Many of these gas stations don't have generators. There's no way to turn those pumps on, obviously. The authorities here say that there are about 191 million gallons of gasoline underground here and at ports across Florida. They're just waiting for the electricity to sell that fuel.
ABC's David Muir in Miami Beach. President Bush is due in Florida today to have a first-hand look at the damage done. He'll also stop at the National Hurricane Center, where they're tracking a new storm.
Beta has just become a tropical storm with maximum sustained winds near 40 miles per hour. It is in the far southwestern Caribbean Sea, over 1,000 miles south of Florida. So this is no immediate concern for the United States.
Richard Knapp with the National Hurricane Center in Iraq. 3 U.S. soldiers have died in recent attacks. Chicago White Sox fans are living history.
The best thing ever! The birth of my daughter!
Yes!
And the World Series! Nothing better!
Yep, they swept the Astros to claim their first World Series win in 88 years.
Yes! Yes!
This is ABC News.
You're now seeing live pictures of a lunar module.
And here they are, all the way from Liverpool.
There are thousands marching on Washington as
a generation as unique as this needs a new generation of personal financial planning. We are the personal advisors of Ameriprise Financial, formerly American Express Financial Advisors. To set up an appointment with a local financial advisor today, call 1-800-AMERIPRISE. That's 1-800-263-7477. Ameriprise Financial Services, number NASD and SIPC.
Honey, this is great sushi. Where'd you get it?
Oh, I made it myself.
Really?
Yeah, I'm full of surprises.
Where'd you get the fish?
Caught them myself.
Yeah?
Yeah, down at the creek.
The creek?
Yeah, the one by the treatment plant.
United Healthcare knows that people don't always use common sense. Fortunately, we bring common sense to healthcare, like offering affordable health benefit solutions, quality and cost comparison tools, and live and online chats with medical experts. United Healthcare. It just makes sense.
Living longer, living better, ABC looks at the issue this week.
What good is living to 120 if your quality of life stinks?
The problems are just daunting.
Dr. Donald Loria at New Jersey's University of Medicine and Dentistry worries that science is getting way ahead of society.
If people live to 100 or 110 or 120 years on average, the Social Security system is not viable.
Or the job market.
Will 3 or 4 generations be competing for the same job.
Living longer, Loria says, raises profound moral and public policy questions. Jim Hickey, ABC News.
Trying to trademark the smell of strawberries, a Paris company hoped to add the exclusive scent to its soaps, lotions, and even some clothes and leather. A European Union court ruled no, noting not all strawberries smell alike. One scent has been granted trademark protection. Freshly cut grass, a Dutch perfume company uses it for tennis balls. I'm Liz White, ABC News.
Good morning, St. Louis. This is Patrick Brandmeier with your WGNU news update for the 8 o'clock hour. In the news this Thursday, a suspect is in custody after a police chase that began yesterday afternoon in North County. The suspect allegedly struck a police officer who was making a traffic stop in St. John before fleeing. The chase continued into the city of St. Louis, where the suspect struck a tree near Vernon and Union and then took off on foot before being arrested a short time later. The officer is reportedly not seriously hurt. Members of a local advocacy group say the city of St. Louis has not made much progress in its fight against lead poisoning. Health and Environmental Justice members delivered a largely unfavorable progress report to Mayor Francis Slay's office yesterday after picketing outside City Hall. Kathleen Logan Smith of Health and Environmental Justice says the group has a problem with the city's maintenance of its lead-safe registry.
It contains categories that do not require reinspections. And the problem with that is that lead is always there. And if you don't reinspect, the chances of it poisoning a kid again are very, very high.
Logan Smith says city crews often use temporary fixes when they remediate buildings, which allows the same buildings to become hazardous again. A campaign is underway to educate parents about a potentially deadly illness to infants. Respiratory syncytial virus is the leading cause of hospitalization in children under 1 year of age in the U.S. and the leading viral cause of death in this age group. Health experts say the Midwest is a high-risk area for passing RSV because the cold winters force residents to spend more time in closed environments. For more information, visit www.rsvprotection.com. Finally this hour, the Blues will play the second of a three-game road trip tomorrow night in Anaheim against the Ducks. The Note is 2-5-2 overall and winless in three tries on the road after losing at Phoenix on Tuesday. The Ducks improved to 4-5-1 with a victory over the Flames last night. This will be the second of four games between the teams this season, with the Blues winning the first meeting last week at Savas Center. Game time is set for 9:30 tomorrow night. This WGNU News Report is brought to you by FedEx Kinko's. For overnight, ground, even the heavy stuff, you can always rely on the ultimate in reliable shipping. Relax, it's FedEx. That's your look at local news for the 8 o'clock hour. I'm Patrick Brandmeier for Radio Free St. Louis.
Good morning, St. Louis. 7 minutes after the hour of 8 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton. We'll look at the Sowers traffic and weather. Sowers traffic is sponsored by GM Certified Used Vehicles. Northbound 55 between Rivers Parish and Gascon, no problems for import. Eastbound 40 between Ballast and Hanley, look for slow traffic in pockets. Northbound 270 at Tessheim Ferry and Marshall, it's stop and go. Westbound 270 between 367 all the way into 170, look for slow traffic in pockets there. Eastbound 70 at T.R. Hughes and 79, it is heavy volume. Eastbound 40 between 141 and Mason, look for slow traffic. Eastbound 44 between Bowles and the Merrimack River Bridge, look for very heavy volume. Westbound 40 between Hampton and Hanley, we've got slow traffic. Southbound 170 at 270 and Hanley, look for slow traffic past a stall that's sitting on the shoulder. Westbound 5570 split from the exchange onto the PSB, you've got slow traffic. Westbound 64 at Bowell Avenue all the way to the 5570 split, look for slow traffic. Northbound Route 3 from 8th Street onto the Poplar Street Bridge is slow. Westbound Kingbridge traffic from the Gravel Pit to Laclede's Landing, look for very heavy volume going on there. And Hampton at the ramp to eastbound 44, there's a report of an injury accident. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by GM Certified Used Vehicles. Message for that driver on Highway 40. Now's a good time to visit your local GM dealers, your GM certified dealer. Their 110-point inspection and reconditioning process will help you forget what used car problems are. GM certified, no worries. Now taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and Saturday. Partly cloudy skies today, high around 60 this evening, mostly clear with a low around 40. For Friday, sunny skies, high in the lower 60s. Friday evening, clear with a low around 40. And Saturday, mostly sunny skies with a high in the upper 60s. Currently, it's studios of AM 920 WGNU under clear skies. We have 44 degrees. Lambert Fields reporting 45 and clear skies as well. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning wake-up call as she speaks with Deborah Goldberg, the director of the Democracy Center at the Brennan Center for Justice in New York City. That's up next. We'll take another look at your traffic and weather in the bottom of the 8 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air.
Welcome back to the wake-up call. This is Liz Brown, living my life as an African and loving it. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. My toll-free long-distance number is 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. 454-0400 is the phone number. 454-6609 is the fax. And the toll-free long-distance number is 1-877-920-WGNU. Any kind of, every kind of, all kinds of ways. Get up. Get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. Huh. Harriet Myers has stepped down. Harriet Myers has stepped down. Now, I just want y'all to feel this. I want you to feel this. No, I want you to feel this. Let's get on the couch. No, let's watch George Bush on the couch at this George Bush on the couch moment. Just feel what he has to do. I want, but please stay with me as we feel our way through this. Stay with me. Dig it. George W. Bush is anticipating, and his administration and all those who surround him, Scooter et al., are anticipating the indictments coming down for them probably tomorrow. George Bush has winged it to Florida. Now, flying into Florida, it seems like everywhere that George Bush is going, it's flying into the eye of some storm of his own making. Because, for real, for him to fly to Florida means that the press will be able to report on how messed up and how incompetent FEMA has been in its response to the Floridians that are sleeping in their car at night trying to fill their gas tanks up, sleeping in their cars in lines at gas stations trying to fill their gas tanks up. Jeb Bush saying, don't blame FEMA, look over here. But it's not my fault because nobody else gets looked at like this except for me because my brother's the president. That was his taking responsibility comment. His not his aha moment, his taking responsibility moment. How'd that work out for you? Was it good for you? The fact of the matter is that George W. Bush has to fly to a place where he is going to have to face criticism, confrontation, and more exposures of how incompetent his administration is. And that's his, what do they call that? His first choice destination. And I just feel this. He has to fly to Florida where the incompetency of his administration will be revealed through his administration's response to Wilma. Okay? On his flight, as he's still in the air, he's probably winging it and listening to the wake-up call as he flies to Florida. And as he's winging it to Florida, he knows that the press can't get at him because now that the Meyer story's out, the press can't get at him. And his hope is, dig this, his hope is, and this is how bad it is for George Bush. This is how desperate of a time that this is truly the perfect storm of no good news. He is hoping that the failure of his administration to get forth, to put forth a Supreme Court nominee who had to withdraw, this is a huge, huge hit at this administration, a huge revelation of how incompetent this administration is, that in a Democrat, in a Republican-held Senate, Republican-held Congress, Republican, everywhere you look is a Republican, he couldn't get his nominee in, his friend, and he couldn't get his friend, and he's gotten in almost every other incompetent friend of his. This is a huge hit to George Bush, but it is his hope, it is the strategy that the Myers failure, the talk about the Myers failure will somehow drown out the talk about the indictments that are coming down on Wednesday. Whoo! You in an ugly, nasty, awful place. These are not good times for you and your administration when you have to look to either your failure at Wilma, your failure at Harriet Myers, as distractions. You can't put out a, what do they normally put out? Ain't no orange alert going to help you this time, baby. Although you might want to create a whole new color scheme for your administration. The orange alert ain't going to save you. You can't get on the air and say that Osama bin Laden's on the plane with me. That's about the best that you can do. That's the only thing that would distract the American people from your problems. You can't just say that we're fixing to have another terrorist attack. You have to say Osama bin Laden's on the plane with me before anybody's going to pay any attention to anything that you have to say. Oh, Lord, what do you think he is saying while he's on that plane? What cuss words do you think he's using? What kind of keg you think he brought with him on that plane? What kind of keg you think is Air Force One packing on its way down to Florida? Whew, good golly, Ms. Molly. I don't know. Let me see. Did the sun rise in the west today? You know, are we getting reports that certain parts of the afterworld are freezing over? I mean, what's happening? If I step outside the window up here at 13th floor of the 265 Union, will I fall up? Because the world is in a crazy place right now. And we have the person, as Dr. Justin Frank explained to us, the author of Bush on the Couch, this is a man who is dealing with extraordinary adversity at this point in his career and in his life. And one of an individual, I don't know of another individual that is less prepared and capable of dealing with this kind of anxiety and problems in their life. Harriet Myers is withdrawing her name. And you know, it comes after she was given a do-over. She had to take her homework back and bring it back to the teacher again because she had incomplete answers. The Republicans were saying she needs a crash course in constitutional law. Ow, ow, wow, 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 wow. Please don't hit me no more. We had Republican organizations, women, conservative evangelicals. Because at the beginning of this, we had the whole secular world of neocons, conservatives, standing next to George Bush saying, no, we don't like her. The Bill Crystals, the Pat Buchanans saying, no, 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 no. And then we had Dotson go in there and get a straight up answer from a soon to be indicted Karl Rove. No, she our friend. And so you had kind of a muted response from the religious world. So the seculars were out there, the secular conservatives were out there saying, heck no, we won't go. And finally, the religious part of this Republican machinery started cranking out the heck no, we ain't going either mantra. And they finally met at a head yesterday when senators from the Republican Party started raising questions about Myers' former law firm's lucrative business helping promote tax shelters that subsequently were deemed abusive by the IRS. Ouch. Concerned Women for America, one of the nation's leading grassroots evangelical organizations, called for the withdrawal of her nomination yesterday. Ouch. Two conservative websites urging Myers' withdrawal began operating, and an anti-Myers ads began airing on cable TV and radio. Ow, 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 ow. Ouch. And the Republican chairman of the Senate Judiciary Committee said yesterday, I intend to question Myers closely about her views of the Bush administration's detention of suspected terrorists in the military prison at Guantanamo Bay. Oh, good God. You think we'd all be millionaires if we got a nickel for every cuss word that George Bush uttered last night? You think we'd be millionaires? Ooh, it hasn't been. It's all falling apart. It is all falling apart because now, Now the Bush administration. You know, the sound of you conservatives out there are deafening. We just had a conservative Republican on the show work with the CIA. Happy to see Bill Clinton kicked out of office. Because he thought we were finally going to get some grown-ups in the White House. How'd that work out for all of us? The sound of you, you Republicans out there, where are you? Hello? Where are you, all you conservative Republicans out here that want to defend this man? Hello? Where are you? How are you? Because here's the thing. Kind of like the way that Wilma washed up on the shores of Florida and exposed the incompetence of George Bush's baby brother. That storm, they didn't think that it was going to be that strong. That storm, they didn't think that it was going to stay over land as long as it did. That storm, they thought that the front end was going to be the big part and the back end was going to be the weak part. They were wrong on all of that, and Wilma took them out. That's kind of what this administration has done in its anticipation of the storms that are perfect storms. The hurricane rove, the hurricane delay, the hurricane much, poor little malign little, not getting any attention, Hurricane Bill Frist over here, the Hurricane Myers, the Hurricane Attorney Fitzgerald. They say that we have had so many hurricanes this season that we've run out of letters of the alphabet, so the next hurricane will be a hurricane without a name because we've run through the alphabet, right? I think that we are running out of the alphabet on hurricanes for George Bush, Hurricane Cindy Sheehan. Hurricane 2,000 deaths in Iraq. We are having so many hurricanes, and I want to remind you, because for those of you that don't know, Harriet Myers has just withdrawn her name. It's her decision. Yeah, right. But I want to remind you of the reason why Harriet Myers was selected. The reason why Harriet Myers was selected is because George Bush, although he needs a whole lot of couch time, I've never said that he's stupid. His people, well, if I did, I take it back. His people didn't have the stomach, don't have Karl Rove in place, don't have the will, actually, to go through the fight that they're going to have to go through if they nominate Janice Brown. They didn't have the stomach for the fight that a Janice Brown's going to bring on. Do you know, in theory, because I don't have faith in the Democrats, but in theory, do you know what kind of energizing this could be for the Democratic Party? It seems like they should feel the most comfortable at this point in time to totally go after Janice Brown when a nominee like her is brought to the forefront. Do you understand the predicament? Do you understand the predicament that this administration is? Wipe that smile off your face. Wipe that smile, because I don't think y'all are feeling this boy's pain. I don't think y'all are sincere about the pain that boy George is going through right now. I don't think y'all are sincere at all. Kathy.
Yes. I was just listening to you. Yes. I had never heard about the what had happened to Marlon Gray until you brought it on your program, and I thank you for bringing that. What I wanted to say, these are everywhere for doing a good job, Mr. Asante, or it may be Jada Kenjitin, but you did a marvelous job over what you could do for him. What I wanted to ask was, Is there going to be a funeral for him, and where will it be? And is there a way that we can perhaps murder the career of Blatt and Nixon, because they don't have the right to be where they are now?
That's the plan. The details of the funeral are forthcoming. I'll put it up on my website, but I'll also let you know through the radio as well.
Okay.
Okay.
Also, I've heard that the song that he sang, I didn't know that he had cut an album.
Mm-hmm.
Has he, and where can we get it? And
That's forthcoming, too. The family is working on that.
It's a beautiful song.
Yes, it is.
And what I want to tell you in the end is keep up the courage, because we need to keep this fight going, because they should not feel that they're safe in destroying an intelligent young black man's life.
Thanks for your call.
Take care.
454-0400 is my phone number. Dolores.
Good morning, Dr. Brown.
Good morning, Dee.
I feel his pain. I feel W's pain.
No, you don't. No, you don't. No, you don't. Don't you get
it? And it's worth it. Listen, he doesn't really listen to the wake-up call. Because if he did, he'd know what to do.
A lot of folks listen but don't do the right thing. So,
okay.
Yeah, no, he listens.
His legs ain't fast enough because he keeps running into himself.
Ooh, everywhere he goes, he gets smacked down by his own hand.
But I feel his pain.
No, you don't.
No, you don't.
We're going to take a break, folks. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about.
Ready or not, here I come. You can't hide. Gonna find you and take it slowly. Ready or not, here I come. Gonna find you and make you want me.
Now that I escape sleep, walk away.
Good morning, St. Louis. 31 minutes after the hour of 8 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by your greater St. Louis area Toyota dealers. Northbound 55 between Bayless and 3200 South Broadway. No problems to report there. Eastbound 70 between Zumbel and St. Charles Rock Road. Everything's on the move. Eastbound 40 between Lindbergh and Hanley. Look for slow traffic in pockets. Northbound 270 between Sappington and 44. Stop and go. Westbound 270 from Old Halls Ferry to New Florissant. Look for slow traffic in pockets. Eastbound 70 at T.R. Hughes and 79. You still got heavy traffic out in St. Charles County. Eastbound 44 from Chrysler all the way into the Merrimack River Bridge. Look for heavy volume. Westbound 40 between Clayton Skinker and Hanley. Look for slow traffic. Southbound 170 at 270 and North Hanley. Look for slow traffic due to an incident on the shoulder. Westbound 5570 between 3rd Street and Poplar Street Bridge. You've got slow traffic. Westbound King Bridge traffic before Laclede's Landing looks good. West Florissant at Riverview. Those traffic lights are still working incorrectly. And that is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by your greater St. Louis area Toyota dealers. Toyota owners, trust your local Toyota dealer that knows your vehicle best for convenient service and competitive prices. Oil changes, tires, batteries, and brakes. They do it all. That's moving you forward. Now taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and Saturday. Partly cloudy skies today, high around 60 this evening, mostly clear with a low around 40. Friday, sunny skies, high in the lower 60s, and Saturday, mostly sunny with a high in the upper 60s. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 46 degrees under partly cloudy skies. Lambert Field is reporting 45 and partly cloudy skies as well. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call. That's up next. We'll take another look at your news, traffic, and your weather in the top of the 9 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
Examine life from the police perspective. Put down the police scanner and pick up Gary Wiegert on WGNU.net.
Spring rains, summertime heat. They can take a toll on your roof. But not to worry. Call Philip Person Roofing, 361-7127. Person Roofing now offers a GAF factory warranty up to 10 years on any modified rubber roof. And that includes labor and material. GAF is the largest maker of roofing material in the country and stands behind its product 100%. Finance your new roof with Visa or MasterCard. Free estimates. Call Philip Person Roofing, 361-7127.
At Halloween, it's all about the scare, the fright, the horror. For the most scare anywhere, come to Hollow Weekends at Worlds of Fun every weekend from September 24th through October 30th. We have five times the, and five times more, and you still get all of them. Hollow Weekends has five extreme haunts. Camp Gonna Get You With Your Hatchet. Carnival of Carnivorous Clowns. The Lore of the Vampire. The Fright Zone. And the new Dominion of Doom. Plus, all our coasters for one low price. So you can scare them out of yourself over and over again. One ticket, unlimited thrills. Hollow Weekends at Worlds of Fun. We've got the haunt that you want. Sponsored by Kansas City area Toyota dealers. Visit worldsoffun.com to book your reservation at the new Worlds of Fun Village Resort.
The Wake Up Call Blanket Drive is set for Friday, November 18th. Volunteers are needed to man the two collection sites at Carver House, 3035 Bell Avenue, and the lobby of the Congress and Senate Building, the home of WGNU, at 265 Union. Blankets to be accepted that morning starting at 6 o'clock. The actual broadcast from Carver House starts at 7. If you can help us help those in need, call the WGNU business office this morning at 454-6660 or email your contact information to revolution@lizbrown.com. All volunteers receive a free second annual blanket drive t-shirt as a thank you. A simple answer to rebuilding the Gulf Coast is to trim waste out of the defense budget. But why is Congress afraid to touch the military? Because no one wants to be seen as weak on defense. Monday morning at 7, Lawrence Korb from the Center of Defense Information joins us on the wake-up call with a new report that shows up to $60 billion could be cut out of the $440 billion defense budget without harming a thing. Now, it may not be enough to do the whole job, but it is a great starting point to help Louisiana and Mississippi get back on the road to recovery. We'll look at some other defense programs that could be dropped because they're simply outdated. That's coming up Monday morning at 7 on the award-winning wake-up call. A voice for those that should be heard. This is the award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown.
Talk to me while I'm listening now. While this love has a voice that we both can hear. Before you let it go, greatest love I've ever known. Won't you please?
Talk to me while I'm listening. My name is Liz Brown. This is the wake-up call. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much to talk about. Pearl, good morning.
Good morning. Liz, have you ever thought about that Bush might be a clone for Hitler? If you kind of follow the way he's working, he's doing just like Hitler did, trying to get all the small countries, you know. And I believe he is just a substitute for Hitler.
Ouch. Ouch. All right, Pearl.
All right.
Thanks for your call.
Thank you.
454-0400 is my phone number. People have a lot of concerns out here about the things that this administration is doing and how they are akin to, like, many things that oppressive, terroristic governments have done to their own citizens. Do you know that they are trying to pass laws that you can be subjected to the death penalty, federal death penalty statutes, where nobody has died? They are trying to reduce the number of jurors required for a death penalty decision. We don't need a unanimous verdict. If this law passes that this Congress and this administration wants, that you don't have to have a unanimous verdict to decide to, the government doesn't need a unanimous verdict of jurors to kill somebody. We don't need 12 people anymore. And if a jury is deadlocked on the issue of the death penalty, not on the issue of guilt, that meant that you don't die, that you spend the rest of your life in jail. That's going to change, too, with this administration. When, as Larry Johnson said, the CIA operative, the person that knows Valerie Plame personally, former Republican, former correspondent on Fox, said that we have a government that is hell-bent on hurting those that don't, hurting its own citizens that don't agree with them. Is that fascism? Imagine what this administration would say if Hugo Chavez had done a Valerie Plame. This government is, you don't have to look far to see the fascism in this government. And you don't have to look far to understand why citizens would call up on the radio and say that George Bush is a clone of Hitler. I understand why somebody would say that given the actions that this government has engaged in. The kissing cousins of fascism or the direct cousin of fascism or fascism. Anne, good morning.
Good morning, Liz.
Good morning.
I want to comment on those second graders and the little girl that said, you are one of a kind, and the man that says, you're the epitome of Rosa Parks, and the, you are, and I love your show, Liz.
Well, thank
you. You went the last mile all the way with Marlon Brown. I mean, I'm so sorry, Marlon Gray. And you are a beautiful person.
Well, thank you, Anne.
Well, you're quite welcome, and you deserve more. And thank you, Liz, for listening to me.
Take care of yourself, Anne.
Thank you, baby.
454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have so much stuff to talk about. 454-0400 is the phone number. 454-6609 is the fax. Let me get to a car phone here. Car phone.
Liz, how are you?
I'm outstanding.
Hey, let's accept the fact that Mr. Gray was innocent. What happened on the bridge that night? Can you complete the puzzle?
I sure can. I can fill in a lot. Wait a minute, don't go anywhere. What happened on the bridge that day? And if you had a chance to listen to the show on the night of Marlon Gray's execution, you would have heard the investigator that saw Marlon Gray every single day that Marlon Gray was incarcerated in the city in preparation for his trial. I talked to him at the vigil outside of the execution chamber. And what the investigator said, and what others have corroborated, and what the evidence has also corroborated, was that Marlon Gray went with a group of people to the bridge. Why did they go to the bridge? Because the cousin, the one that got $150,000 settlement from this police department. And mind you, if I didn't, can just digress just for a second, think about this. I don't know the statistics for this. Perhaps somebody can go out there and figure out the statistics for this. But I would like to know, when in the history of the St. Louis Police Department, when in the history have they ever settled a case of police brutality when the only witness to it is the victim? When have they ever settled a case of police brutality when the only witness to it, we don't have photographs of Cummins being beaten. We don't have photographs of Cummins after his alleged beatings. When has the police department said, yeah, we beat him? In such a short period of time and with no corroborating evidence outside of the victim's mouth. There should be settlements all over this dang city. So that is, should be suspicious to anybody in the world that thinks or has at least been familiar with the exercise of thinking. Now, What happened was they went to the bridge because the cousin said he wanted to go look at the graffiti that one of the sisters painted. She had a little poem up there on that dark bridge. He said, let's go to the bridge and see your poetry. And he was disappointed and a little angry that there was any company besides he and his cousin that he wanted to hit on. One of the stories by Cummins was that when they got to the bridge, that these black guys showed up and that the black guys wanted to rape his cousin. And he was Cummins was a 25-year-old firefighter from out of state. And his story is that a 15-year-old boy, Cummins is about 6 foot, 185, 190 pounds. His story is that a 15-year-old kept him at bay. 15-year-old with no weapon, a short little 15-year-old boy, kept him at bay while two other men, in his vision, raped his cousins. What do you think anybody could stop you? You think a 15-year-old could stop you as a 20-something-year-old firefighter, 6 foot, almost 200-pound man? You think that he could stop you? And he didn't have any women? You think he could stop you from keeping your cousins from getting raped? Then Cummins had this incredible story that he told on the witness stand that all of the people went down in a sewer hole. They took a manhole cover off the sewer, and they took him down there, along with all four of the other people that were there, held him down there in a manhole while they raped his cousin. And then they came in and they took another two out, and then they went and raped their cousin. Four people in a manhole. And have you ever seen four people in a manhole before? That's one of his stories. Other story was that he jumped off the bridge to save his cousin. And his hair wasn't wet, and there was no sediment. His clothes weren't wet. His shirt wasn't wet. That's the star witness for the state. And that's the witness that got $150,000 for saying that he was beaten by the police. Marlon, on the other hand, said he was in the car listening to music and listening to a hockey game. When whatever happened on the bridge happened on the bridge, when the young women died on the bridge. How do you validate that? Well, you call up the sports, you go get the game. You talk to Marlon while he's in jail and say, what did you hear? This is what I heard, and this is what time it was. You go get the tapes and see if that tracks. It tracked. He said he was also listening to music on the easy listening station. He even named some of the songs that he heard. You go, you call the music station. Were you playing songs like this at this time? These particular songs. Yes, here's what our record is. I guess he was in the car. How was he in the car at the time that the girls lost their lives? Pushed off, jumped off the bridge. Marlon Gray didn't do this. And the Cummins boy took a lie detector test and failed it. Failed it. The only people charged with death penalty were the three black young men. No, we didn't do this. My name is Liz Brown. This is the Wake Up Call. We have so much stuff to talk about. So much stuff to talk about. Whew. I'll be back at you. Let me take a break here. 454. I see you. I see you. I see you. I know you on the phone. Let me do this. I promise I'll get back at you.
Stop criticizing your son. Mother, please leave your daughters alone. Don't you see that's what's wrong? Be their own piece of play.
This is your wake-up call global news update. Dateline Tehran. The new hardline president of Iran says Israel should be wiped off the map. Mahmoud Ahmadinejad told an interview yesterday that a new wave of attacks by Palestinians will destroy the Jewish state and that his country will never recognize Israel or try to normalize relations with it. He said anyone who recognizes Israel will burn in the fire of the Islamic Nation's fury, and any Islamic leader who does so agrees with the surrender and defeat of the Islamic world. Ahmadinejad called the recent Israeli withdrawal from the Gaza Strip nothing more than a trick to make Islamic states come around to recognizing Israel. And Dateline Abu Dhabi. There's trouble in Kuwait. Emir Jabir al-Ahmad al-Sabah and Crown Prince Saad al-Abdullah al-Salim al-Sabah are said to no longer be functioning in their roles because of serious illness. This has created a vacuum of power. There's been a call to change the leadership succession from the Kuwaiti parliament, but so far the government has refused to comply. The Crown Prince returned to the country from London just last week after spending 2 months in London for medical treatment. However, he's still too weak to govern. According to the Kuwaiti constitution, the emir appoints the Crown Prince and Prime Minister, which Parliament has to ratify. If the nominee is rejected, the emir then recommends three other people, and one of them has to be chosen by Parliament. The current Prime Minister, Sabah al-Jabbar al-Sabah, is 76 years old, but the ruling family is divided over whether to elevate him to the status of Crown Prince, as there have been charges of corruption tied to him in the past. This is your wake-up call, Global News Update.
You don't have to travel all the way to the mall to visit your Sears. Why don't you visit the only black-owned and operated Sears located at 3425 Union. That's 3425 Union. Sears, where else? That's right. Where else, where else, where else? It's on Halloween weekend. Are you going to find a monster sale? Well, of course, at Sears, 3425 Union. 12% off of already reduced scratch and dented floor models. 20% cash back when you buy three appliances of $3.99 or more with your Sears card. All kinds of wonderful deals going on. They have a tread machine that will just make you lose your mind. You need to get on over to Sears at 3425 Union. Black-owned, black-operated. You need to fill some apartments with some, refrigerator stoves, etc. Get on down to Sears, 3425 Union. And when you go, tell them I told you to. Sears, get your shop on.
Congratulations. You found Radio Free St. Louis online at WGNU.net. Remember, we're also at 920 on your AM dial in the St. Louis metropolitan area.
A simple answer to rebuilding the Gulf Coast is to trim waste out of the defense budget. But why is Congress afraid to touch the military? Because no one wants to be seen as weak on defense. Monday morning at 7, Lawrence Korb from the Center of Defense Information joins us on the wake-up call with a new report that shows up to $60 billion could be cut out of the $440 billion defense budget without harming a thing. Now, it may not be enough to do the whole job, but it is a great starting point to help Louisiana and Mississippi get back on the road to recovery. We'll look at some other defense programs that could be dropped because they're simply outdated. That's coming up Monday morning at 7 on the award-winning wake-up call. Friday, November 18th, and once again, we're partnering with our friends at Carver House to provide those in need in our community with the gift of warmth. This year, we've set a goal of collecting 5,000 blankets, and with your help, we know we can make it happen. The Wake Up Call Blanket Drive will have two collection points again this year. In the lobby of the Congress and Senate building, the home of WGNU Radio, at 265 Union Boulevard, and at Carver House, 3035 Bell Avenue. Again, that date is Friday, November 18th. The need is greater than ever, and we're counting on you, St. Louis, for 5,000 blankets. Don't forget, the second annual Wake Up Call Blanket Drive is Friday, November 18th, with a live broadcast from Carver House at 3035 Bell from 7 to 10 that morning. Thank you for what you did last year and what you will do this year. It's the information you need to know about but can't find anywhere else on the dial. The award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown.
¿Para dónde vas? ¿Para dónde vas? ¿Para dónde vas? ¿Para dónde vas? ¿Dónde vas? ¿Para dónde vas,
muchacha?
¿Para dónde vas,
doña mujer?
¿Para dónde vas?
Dime.
¿Para dónde vas? ¿Dónde vas?
Si vas al baile, baila conmigo.
Ooh, ¿para dónde vas? This is Liz Brown. I live in my life as an African 11 at 454-0400 is my phone number. Get to me. You're on the wake-up call. Good morning.
Good. Hello.
Yes, you're on the air.
How you doing, Liz?
I am outstanding.
You know, I've been about Marlon. He didn't physically push. The state didn't charge him with physically pushing those people off the bridge, right?
That is correct.
And you know what?
He wasn't. The state's own evidence didn't put him on the bridge at the time of the girls were pushed off the bridge.
Right. I
mean, or
yeah,
jumped
right.
off the bridge.
Right. Mm-hmm. And I listened to Marlon's case through you, the wake up Marlon. The wake-up call, and I ask people, you know, who just are so happy about this man being killed. I said, do you know anything about the case? And they know nothing. They all say that Marlon pushed these people off the bridge, that the state charged him with that. And that's not true.
Well, that the state charged him with that, or that the state brought evidence for to support that. None of the evidence that wasn't that he wasn't charged
right.
with that, and he
well, that's
him.
What I mean that the state.
No, there are two things. There are two. You're saying okay. an additional thing that he wasn't charged with it, and secondly, what I'm saying is that there was no evidence presented at trial to support it either.
Right. That's why they used the Charles Manson theory.
That's
right?
Exactly right. That's
yeah,
exactly
it was,
right.
Yeah, there's no other reason why, and that's and people are just so happy that this man is dead that I've been talking to, and it's been white people, and it all has to do with OJ. In my heart, I believe that. When that man, when it's just so much evidence not to have executed that man. Have a good day.
Thanks for your call. 454-0400 is my phone number. Get to me. Car phone.
Good morning, Liz. How you doing?
I'm outstanding.
I was listening to you this morning, so I was just talking about the different things that are going on in the administration, and it just seems like to me it's like a bunch of kids have been released, let loose in Willy Wonka's candy chocolate factory, and they tied up the Umpa Wumpas, and they've gorged themselves on candy, and now they're sick, and they're regurgitating all over the place, and there's the little man in this country that always gets affected, you know, by the, you know, the evil intentions of individuals that we elect in office to do the best for everyone. And that's the thing that kills me. Even though somebody might be to the left or right, Republican or Democrat, when you get in the office, who do you represent? You don't represent just your constituents. You don't just represent the individuals that help you get in. Don't you represent everybody?
I don't think that you represent the people that paid money for you to get in. Those are the last people on.
You know, that's
awful.
The thing that kills me about
it's
it,
awful.
You know. And so now it's like, when it all gets said and done, you know, we always are at a choice where we're trying to decide, okay, well, who do we go with this time when it comes back around time for election? Because it seems like even the people that we seem to be most trustworthy seem to be the people that we have, you know, hey, this is it. This is it. This is going to be the person.
But here's the thing. We have to remind ourselves that you didn't know this. You don't know anybody that you elect personally except unless you're running for office. So you get into a relationship, and if they are the person that they said that they are, then you stay with them. If they're not, you don't. I mean, that's nothing on us. It's on them. You know,
right.
If you say what you're going to do, and then if you do what you say that you said you're going to do, then you have to keep your job. No big deal. Ain't no shame in that, because that's the best we can do. But we have to be honest with ourselves and believe when people say something about and do something that's who they are.
I have another question for you.
I got to roll. I got to get to the other callers here. But thanks for your call, Eric. Another car phone. Eric. Hello.
Hello.
Yes,
hello?
Eric. Quickly, please turn your radio down, please.
Eric, how you doing?
I'm fine.
And, I was just wanting to comment on that. I don't know anybody that's been able to sue the city of St. Louis and win. And so this guy to come in here and do that, is just unbelievable.
Well, you're talking about the $150,000 settlement that the St. Louis Police Department gave Cummings for a alleged beating of Cummings. There are people that have sued the St. Louis Police Department and have won, but my question was, I don't know anybody that the police department has settled with alleging brutality where there are no pictures and all there is the eyewitness of the single victim. I don't know anybody that's had a $150,000 settlement for that.
Right, and I'm with you on that, and that's it's just unbelievable.
Yes, it is.
You know how
yes,
the system is, and like I tell my son, we're still not free.
Thanks for your call. You're on the wake-up call.
Yes, hello?
Yes.
Yes. I'm going to change the subject a little bit. I know they had that shooting on the Jack in the Box parking lot. How long ago was that?
Years.
That Jack in the Box lot where the cop shot and killed those guys?
Yes.
And how about the shooting just recently of the two white guys?
Okay.
Now, that old saying, what goes around comes around. I'm thinking that Jack in the Box parking lot, when that happened, the white people felt like it was justifiable. Now that their own have been shot, now they want to cry bloody murder.
I guess you're just saying it's not about the crime, it's about who stands accused of the crime.
It's about who stands accused of the crime. Exactly.
Car phone? Yes.
How are you? Hey, got a question for you. This case of the guy with the bridge that was put to death, if he wasn't on the bridge, what evidence did they use or how did he get tied to it?
He was there. He was in the car while this was happening. He was there. He drove out there with his friends. He knew some of the people. But certainly because you're there doesn't mean that you're guilty of murder.
I agree with that. I find that statement, because he was there, he's been put to death.
There are two people that said that he did something wrong. One of them has received $150,000 a settlement from the police, and one of them has failed a lie detector test. That's why he's dead. Because of their testimony. Got to roll. I'm Liz Brown. This is The Wake-Up Call. Stay with me.
WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis. 920 on your AM dial.
Compton is at the White House. In a written statement praising his longtime legal counsel, the president blames senators for demanding internal documents from Meyer's White House career, which he says must remain under executive privilege. Even supporters of the president have been underwhelmed by Meyer's other legal credentials. The president now pledges to pick another nominee in a timely manner.
ABC's Ann Compton says Meyers told the White House she wanted out last night, and she walked into the Oval Office and handed the president a letter saying so about an hour and a half ago. ABC's George Stephanopoulos has more on the political fallout.
It is a political blow because it comes at such a perilous time for the president when he's facing the lowest approval ratings of his presidency. It appears that the special counsel, Patrick Fitzgerald, is a day or so away possibly from issuing indictments in the CIA leak investigation. He had had such a victory with the John Roberts nomination, and this one never got off the ground, and I think the White House is cutting their losses.
President Bush visits South Florida to see the damage done by Hurricane Wilma. Some storm survivors there are struggling to find food, water, ice, and gas. Three U.S. soldiers have been killed in recent attacks in Iraq. The death toll passed the 2,000 mark earlier this week. Chicago is in celebration mode. The White Sox swept the World Series, beating the Astros last night with a single run in the eighth inning.
Oh, my God, we're on top of the world, number one. Nobody, undisputed champions of the world, White Sox. How long have you been waiting for this? 11 years. My dad had season tickets back when I was 10. I've been waiting for too long, but this is great.
It's the White Sox' first World Series title in 88 years. This is ABC News.
You're now seeing live pictures of a lunar module.
Here they are all the way from Liverpool.
There are thousands marching on Washington as
a generation as unique as this needs a new generation of personal financial planning. We are the personal advisors of Ameriprise Financial, formerly American Express Financial Advisors. To set up an appointment with a local financial advisor today, call 1-800-AMERIPRISE. That's 1-800-263-7477. Ameriprise Financial Services, member NASD and SIPC.
Honey, this is great sushi. Where'd you get it?
Oh, I made it myself.
Really?
Yeah, I'm full of surprises.
Where'd you get the fish?
Caught them myself.
Yeah?
Yeah, down at the creek.
The creek?
Yeah, the one by the treatment plant.
United Healthcare knows that people don't always use common sense. Fortunately, we bring common sense to healthcare, like offering affordable health benefit solutions, quality and cost comparison tools, and live and online chats with medical experts. United Healthcare. It just makes sense.
On the eve of a U.S. tour, the BBC is out with a glimpse of Prince Charles. ABC's Linda Albin has details from London.
Guess who's coming to dinner? Prince Charles and Camilla to be guests at the White House. Prince Charles bringing his twin passions, Camilla, of course, and talk of Home Farm, his 1,200-acre organic spread. Married less than a year, could it be Camilla already has a rival? In an exclusive interview with the BBC ahead of the couple's U.S. tour, the prince couldn't help but mention his love for his pigs.
For the old Gosford spots, they were splendid. I mean, I used to feed them with the kitchen waste.
You can just hear the dinner conversation. Charles on pigs, the president on cattle. Watch out, gentlemen, your wives are about to hog the limelight. Linda Albin, ABC News, London.
And how does this grab you? New Jersey, we will win you over. Garden State tourism officials spent $250,000 to come up with that slogan. But the acting governor thinks it stinks. Another possibility, New Jersey. The light at the end of the tunnel. I'm Liz White, ABC News.
Good morning, St. Louis. This is Patrick Bryant-Meyer with your WGNU news update for the 9 o'clock hour. In the news this Thursday, a St. Charles bail bondsman is behind bars this morning in connection with a murder plot. Virgil Jackson is accused of trying to hire a hitman to kill Gerald Cox, a rival bail bondsman and a former state representative. Investigators say Jackson is a convicted felon now charged with possessing a firearm and bullets. If he's convicted, he could spend anywhere from 15 years to life in prison. The Senate confirmation hearings for Supreme Court nominee Harriet Myers are scheduled to begin next month, but not everyone is happy about President Bush's choice. Lawmakers on both sides of the aisle have voiced doubts about Myers' qualifications, suggesting that President Bush withdraw the nomination. Lee Epstein, a professor of law and political science at Washington University, says although that won't happen, there's no guarantee the Senate will confirm her. Epstein says one main question surrounds the fact that Myers is President Bush's chief counsel. She says Myers will have to answer a lot of questions about whether she can objectively uphold the power of the president. A new study out of Finland indicates that your boss may be killing you. The study found that people who believe their bosses treated them unjustly had a 30% higher incidence of heart disease than those who felt their bosses treated them fairly. Dr. Michael Lim, a professor of medicine at St. Louis University, says the study shouldn't be taken too seriously.
So this is another association between a perception that your boss is treating you unfairly and an increased incidence of coronary artery disease, but it's not that the one causes the other.
The study looked at 6,400 British workers over a 10-year period. It did not take into account other risk factors, including age and physical activity levels. The study is published in the Archives of Internal Medicine. Finally this hour, Cardinals first baseman Albert Pujols is a member of Major League Baseball's Latino Legends team. Fans selected 12 players to the team, which honors the contributions that players of Latin American heritage have made to baseball over the years. Pujols is a career .332 hitter with 201 home runs and 621 RBI in just 5 years of Major League service, and he's one of the leading candidates for the National League's Most Valuable Player Award this season. Other members of the Latino Legends team include Rod Carew, Manny Ramirez, Roberto Clemente, and Pedro Martinez. This WGNU News Report is brought to you by Ashley Furniture Home Stores. The Ashley Furniture Home Store means big savings for you, like no interest and no payments for 1 year. Ashley Furniture Home Store in Kirkwood and South County. That's your look at local news for the 9 o'clock hour. I'm Patrick Bryant-Meyer for Radio Free St. Louis.
Good morning, St. Louis. 7 minutes after the hour of 9 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by your greater St. Louis area Toyota dealers. Southbound 270 from Tesson Ferry, there's an injury accident. Two left lanes are blocked. South Bryan Road is closed at Fizey and Route N due to an accident involving a school bus. In both directions, 370 at Elm and 94, there's bridge maintenance going on. and that has the left lane closed. Westbound 70 at 170, there's road construction, left lane's closed there. Northbound 55 between Weber and 44, no problems reported. Northbound 270 at 44 has returned back to normal. Westbound 270 at Chain of Rocks and Washington Elizabeth, expect normal traffic this hour. Westbound 70 at 94, there's road construction, the left lane is closed. Eastbound 44 at the Merrimack River Bridge, no problems to report in both directions. 40 at Hanley, everything's running smoothly. Eastbound 40 at the last Missouri exit, which is Broadway, there's road maintenance operations that has the exit ramp closed, and you can use either 11th Street or 14th Street to get around. Northbound 270 at Olive, there's work in the right lane, and the exit ramp is closed. Westbound 5570 split at the Poplar Street Bridge looks good. Westbound Kingbridge traffic from the Illinois Bank all the way into Laclede's Landing looks good. And that is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by your greater St. Louis area Toyota dealers. Toyota owners, trust your local Toyota dealer that know your vehicle best for convenient service and competitive prices. Oil changes, tires, batteries, and brakes, they do it all. That's moving you forward. Now taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and Saturday. Partly cloudy skies today with a high around 60. This evening mostly clear with a low around 40. Friday, sunny skies with a high in the lower 60s. Friday evening clear with a low around 40. And Saturday, mostly sunny skies with a high in the upper 60s. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU under mostly sunny skies, we have 48 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting 47 and sunny skies as well. Stay tuned for another hour of the award-winning Wake Up Call with your host Liz Brown. She's up next. We'll take another look at your news and your weather in the 10 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brother, how can this happen? I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brother, how can this happen? Our power. Please do not beg for power. Nobody is going to give it to you. You were born with power.
Some very sad news for all of you, the people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight. Remember?
I will never say that progress is being made. If you take a knife and write back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below me.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brother, how this
But the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it. They struggle against the common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
That all men are created equal, yet many are denied equal dignity.
And so we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
Welcome to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown, living my life as an African and loving it. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. Harriet is gone. Harriet is gone. Bye-bye. Bye. Oh, my goodness. Harriet Myers. She's very qualified. She's my friend. She's represented me before. Harriet is gone. And that is, I don't care what anybody says, that's a huge blow across the bow of the ship George Titanic Bush. It's a huge blow. I'm looking at the front page of the paper. There is no good news for this administration at all on the front page of the New York Times today. George Bush is winging it as we speak. He's in the air, cussing and headed towards Florida so he can face criticism there of the government's response to Hurricane Wilma. Picture on the front page of the New York Times. Granted, it's below the fold, but it's color and it's a big picture. None but black folks in North Miami, people waiting in line for gasoline. They were among the South Floridians who experienced a second day of extraordinary lines for supplies that quickly ran out and did not arrive after Hurricane Wilma. And please, can I do something here? Can I just go to another news story really quickly here? Because there's so many stories that are piled up on my desk right now in front of me, trying to bring you all the information. But I just want you to resonate with the last line of the photograph that is on the front page of the New York Times today. That people are standing in line in Florida. Black folks standing in line in Florida trying to get gas. You hear me? Trying to get gasoline. People have been sleeping in their cars at gas stations in the state of Florida trying to get gasoline after Hurricane Wilma. Okay? Juxtapose three things. Put three things together. Add these three things up and tell me what your sum total is. One, this photograph on the front page of the New York Times. After Hurricane Wilma, it's a waiting game. People are standing in extraordinary lines for supplies that ran out quickly or did not arrive after Hurricane Wilma. Okay. Add that plus the fact that FEMA has extended Brownie's contract by 30 days. Did y'all know that Michael Brown, colossal screw-upper, colossal blamer, colossal I ain't taking responsibility for nothing. Michael Brown, former head of FEMA, is still getting paid by FEMA. They extended his contract for 30 days. What was it? Chernoff, the head of Homeland Security, extended Mike Brownie's contract, and I quote, for this reason, and I quote, it is important to allow the new people who have had responsibility to have access to the information we need to do better. Huh? Huh? Well, what the, huh? He's getting paid $148,000 from money from you and me. And he's still there, and not only is he still there, they have extended after the fact that supplies didn't get to Florida after Hurricane Wilma. He's still keeping his job. They extended his contract for 30 days. Ain't that some stuff? Now add those two things together and divide by. George Bush's baby brother, Jeb Bush, his response to the fact that black folks are standing in line to get gasoline in handheld containers in North Florida. His statement is, it's all my responsibility. I take full responsibility for this. And nobody would be paying attention to this if it wasn't, if my brother wasn't the president. It's not FEMA's fault. Okay? So, that's a quote from Jeb Bush. It's not FEMA's fault. It's my, I take responsibility, but nobody would be paying attention to this if it wasn't, my brother that was the president. So divide those two things by, it's not my fault. Or it's not FEMA's fault. What do you think you end up with? I think you end up with another explanation of the manner of man that George Bush is and the type of administration this is. They take no fault for anything that they have done wrong. They do nearly everything wrong. And people suffer mightily, whether it's no gas for their cars, their cover being blown and they are an operative for the United States government, they are a spy, or whether their careers have been destroyed or their lives have been destroyed. Oh, Jesus, this administration is something else. You're on the wake-up call. Good morning.
Good morning, Liz.
Kerwin, good morning.
I thought I'd share with you something that I saw on NBC's Today show this morning that was absolutely amazing, speaking of the travails of George Bush. First they said they were going to give a primer on the grand jury and how it works, and then they went on to an interview of Republican shill Ann Coulter, which I wonder why they were doing that. Once they started to interview her, apparently they have a new tactic. They were actually she was actually giving the heave-ho to Karl Rove and Scooter Libby. She actually said, well, Bush doesn't really need Karl Rove because what's he going to do, get him elected for a third time? It was so bad that Matt Lauer even questioned her making light of the situation. So I think
Matt Lauer said something like that?
Yes, he did.
What did he say?
Something to the effect of her making light of it because she was making it into sort of a joke. And so, to me, that shows that they have a whole new tactic. They see the handwriting on the wall.
But it's interesting to me. I understand what the shill Ann Coulter does. I don't understand her inability to open her mouth and articulate, but I certainly understand what role she plays within this conservative right-wing nut job group of people. I understand the role that she plays. The problem is that you shouldn't have been able to hear what she had to say. You shouldn't have been able to hear the jokes that she was able to make this morning on NBC Morning News, because they should have never had her on there. The bigger issue is the fact that she was on there at all.
Oh, I agree with you completely. That was the reason why I was like, you know, why would they put her on as a balance to a primer on the functioning of the grand jury?
Yeah, she's a lawyer, but the issue that she discussed and the role that she plays, let's just be clear, the role that she plays is not that of an attorney analyzing anything. Her role is to be a constant sycophant for the Republican Party, period, dot.
Correct. I agree with you, but that's why it was really strange to me, because it appears that their new tactic is, you know, we're not going to be able to get away with this, so now we had better minimize their importance to the administration.
And that serves a couple of purposes. It's not just we're not going to be able to get away with it, but the presence of Karl Rove means that, and it has always meant that, George W. Bush is successful in office, or successful getting into office, has been successful in getting his things passed because of the actions and articulations and strategies of Karl Rove. That's been the constant understanding. Now, once Karl Rove is going to have to step down from that position, the Republicans don't want a constant shot at George W. Bush of him flailing because Karl Rove is there. They now have to, they have to do something that I don't know can be done, is transfer the authority and a power that Karl Rove had in this administration to George W. Bush, that George W. Bush could have done all this anyway without Karl Rove, and I don't know how you're going to do that math, that subtraction. I don't know how you're going to do that.
Well, I doubt that'll ever come off.
That's what I think the Ann Coulter appearance starts that strategy, begins that strategy of who needs Karl Rove? He wasn't that big of a player anyway in this administration.
Yes.
You know, George Bush didn't need him. I don't need him. You know, that's what do they call that? Whistling in the dark.
Right.
All right now.
Thanks a lot.
Thanks for your call. 454-0400 is my phone number. Get to me. You're on a wake-up call. Good morning. Josephine.
Good morning.
Yes.
I waited so long, I got lost it. Another beautiful day in St. Louis. We were doing my spring cleaning, my holiday cleaning, and we were talking about the young man that was executed last night.
Marlon Gray.
I couldn't remember his name, I'm sorry.
That's okay.
But we heard all the facts on it, on your program, and I wanted to ask one thing.
Sure.
Did he have a police record?
Had none. No police record. In fact, one of the things that we brought out on my show was not only did he have no police record, he was a working young man. He had just saved somebody's life a few days before that, a hit-and-run driver, and he was taking care of a white guy that he had saved, whose life he had saved, in a car wreck, and had been visiting him. And, in fact, the white guy was never called by Marlon Gray's attorney. I read the statement from this victim that he wanted to come in and tell the world what a wonderful man Marlon Gray was, but he never got a chance to do that at the trial.
Oh, my God. How dare they do such a thing? Oh, everybody should get up in arms.
This is awful.
Oh, that's disgusting.
Yes, it is.
I never heard of any such things, and I've been here going on 78 years, and I've never heard anything like this. I thought perhaps they were going on his record, and since he had none,
no.
Oh, I can't hardly believe this.
And Josephine, it would be awful and unacceptable if they were convicting somebody for your record. You're supposed to be convicted for the crime that you commit, too. So that would have been horrible, too. But the fact of the matter is that this young man had no record.
Well, I was mistaken there, true. Well, I thank you very much, Ms. Brown.
Take care.
Have a beautiful day.
Take care of yourself.
Bye-bye. Thank you.
You live in the United States of America. Our laws say that you are innocent unless and until you're proven guilty. And I think that emotionally a lot of people are struggling with this case, and they want to try to find a way that it makes sense that he's dead. And so they're reaching out to things that make their comfort level feel better. Well, he was a gangbanger anyway, blah, 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 blah. Things like that. And the fact of the matter is that Marlon was none of those things. But the bigger fact is that it wouldn't have mattered had he been. The integrity of our entire judicial system has been eliminated through the actions of the murder of Marlon Gray, of our government in murdering Marlon Gray. It means that our judicial system has no integrity. Period. Dot. No integrity at all. You're on the wake-up call. Good morning. Lord.
Yes, Liz. I just wonder if they bring forward now Janice Rogers Brown, who would be the female Clarence Thomas. And, of course, Thomas lied during his confirmation hearings and said he had, quote, no personal views about Roe v. Wade or legalized abortion. He was lying. But this woman has said, quote, the New Deal was one of the great tragedies of American history. So if this broad is brought forward, Democrats will really go off the deep end. Thank you very much, Liz.
454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. Get to me. You're on the wake-up call. Good morning.
Yeah, how you doing, Liz?
I'm outstanding.
Regarding Marlon Gray's case. Now, I thought I heard on your show that he stated that he had told the police or whatever that he had been beaten by the police officer before this Cummins kid told him that he had been beaten, right?
No, he didn't. We don't know. He didn't say that on the show. What he said was he had told the police. Marlon had told the police had told folks that he had been beaten, had reported on the police beating him before Marlon knew that Cummins had said that the police had beaten him.
Okay.
And so the point with that was is that some people would say, well, you just said that you were beaten by the police because you knew that that Cummins said that he had been beaten by the police. His point was that I didn't even know. They didn't even know that Cummins had made a claim that the police had beaten him until the day of his trial.
And still, it should have been investigated, when you think. I mean,
well, how would you investigate that? If you how do you investigate the fact that Cummins has been beaten when none of the police reports indicate anything? None of Cummins' statements indicate anything like that, and they weren't allowed to interview Cummins.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if they weren't allowed or not, but I know that they didn't.
I was curious why the police confessed that they beat him. I mean, it's not something they normally do.
It is suspicious.
In the Cummins case.
It is suspicious, isn't it?
Yeah.
It makes it very suspicious, and I want to say this one more time, Earl, for those that didn't catch it. When I've said it before, when you evaluate whether or not Marlon Gray should have been killed, murdered by this government, you have to look at the facts of the case, and you have to look at different factors to decide whether or not an individual is being credible, if an individual is telling the truth. And one of the things to factor into whether the truthfulness of this of the story that has been told is, why did a police department submit to, confess to, settle a lawsuit for a police brutality claim made by a violation of a civil rights complaint made by a white guy when there were no other witnesses to this alleged civil rights violation? And when in the history of the St. Louis Police Department has the police department confessed, settled a lawsuit of alleged civil rights violations when there was only one witness to it and no photograph to support it? I don't know of any case in the city of St. Louis where somebody got $150,000 for something like that.
Yeah, that's my point. I mean, okay.
Thanks for your call. We're going to take a break, folks. I am Liz Brown. This is The Wake Up Call. We are looking for your calls and comments. Harriet Myers stepped down, and what the police what George Bush is saying is that it's the Republican senator's fault. Huh? Stay with me.
Radio Free St. Louis is AM 920. WGNU. Catch us on the World Wide Web at WGNU.net.
It's Kevin.
And Stu McCarthy, inviting you to join us for the Travel Planner Show every Saturday afternoon.
We'll talk travel, share our experiences, tell you about some great deals and steals, and give you some travel tips like this.
We always cross-pack at least one change of clothes in each other's bag, just in case a bag gets lost.
Plus, it sure does give the security guys a good laugh when they see those little panties in my bag.
So tell a friend, it's the Travel Planner Show, starting October 22nd from 2 to 4 every Saturday afternoon
on Radio Free St. Louis, WGNU.
Learn about fall trees and flowers at the Rockwoods Reservation, 2751 Glencoe Road in Wildwood, on Saturday, October 29th from 10 a.m. to noon. Families can learn to identify trees and flowers and discover the beauty of fall colors on the short hike through the woods. For more information, call 636-458-2236. Autumn news to you from Radio Free St. Louis.
Has Steve Franklin been on your mind? Join him online at WGNU.net.
Wake Up Call family. We want to remind you that the second Wake Up Call blanket drive is now set for Friday, November 18th. And once again, we're partnering with our friends at Carver House to provide those in need in our community with the gift of warmth. This year, we've set a goal of collecting 5,000 blankets. And with your help, we know we can make it happen. The Wake Up Call blanket drive will have two collection points again this year. In the lobby of the Congress and Senate building, the home of WGNU Radio, at 265 Union Boulevard, and at Carver House, 3035 Bell Avenue. Again, that date is Friday, November 18th. The need is greater than ever, and we're counting on you, St. Louis, for 5,000 blankets. Don't forget, the second annual Wake Up Call Blanket Drive is Friday, November 18th, with a live broadcast from Carver House at 3035 Bell from 7 to 10 that morning. Thank you for what you did last year and what you will do this year.
Starting your day with information you can't get anywhere else. It's the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
Animal desires became a beast. You found someone to help and be released. I used to send you red roses, not anymore. The love I have for you is now deceased. And I'm sending you the black rose.
Welcome back. Welcome back. Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown, living my life as an African and loving it. 454-0400 is my phone number. Get to me. You're on the Wake Up Call. Good morning.
Hi, Liz. This is Earlene Thomas.
Earlene, good morning.
I've talked to you about this before over the years, but I represented Antonio Richardson when he was a juvenile before his case was sent over to the Death Penalty Division.
Mm-hmm.
And this thing is so suspicious, especially that cousin Cummings. I met someone years later who knew the Carey family, and they said that even though their name, you know, Carey sounds Americanized, that they were of, I think, some Middle Eastern background, and that they were the type of family that had, they had access to the person that had killed the girl. They probably would have killed them themselves. And that's why Cummings made quick and fast in a hurry to separate himself from it, because he knew that they would have come after him. And one of the things that is, well, many things are suspicious, but I was there when Cummings viewed the lineup of Antonio during the juvenile, when he was in juvenile, and talking about whisking him, and the police brought him in, you would have thought he was the president. The way they kept him incognito, I could not question him. They kept him back in a back room. I happened to walk past, and you used to do juvenile cases, I think, when you were with the PDs, didn't you? Have you been over there?
No, I did juvenile. I didn't do juvenile.
Oh, okay.
Did not.
I don't know if you'd ever been over there. But
no, I've been
race,
over there, but I didn't do juvenile cases.
Okay, there's a room in the back where they do the lineup, and I happened to pass by there. This white boy was so frightened and so scared. I mean, these cops were standing around him. He was sitting down with his back against the wall. They were standing all around him. I said, can I at least interview him? I'm Mr. Richardson's attorney. Let me interview him with you present. No, you can't have any access to him. The police officer who was conducting the interview, this was at 10 o'clock, and I believe it was on a court holiday. This man was so full of liquor at 10 o'clock, his breath gave me a contact high. I stood directly behind and to the side of this Cummings guy when they brought the kids out and had them in the lineup. They said, do you see anybody you recognize? He said, I only saw them when they were over on the Illinois side of the river from the bridge. So it's hard to recognize anybody.
You heard Cummins say that out his own mouth.
Yes, ma'am. Okay. And I'm thinking, on the Illinois side from the bridge. So anyway, they said, well, take a look. Within that lineup, there was only one kid that even slightly looked like Antonio. All the others were so different as far as complexion, build, height, what have you. They said, well, do you see anybody you recognize? Cummins, I'm telling you, he was standing no more than 5 inches from me. I could have just reached out with my fingertips and touched him. I was that close to him. He's a short guy, so I was about the same height. He said, I don't see anybody. He was shaking his head, no. He says, no. And as he was shaking his head, no, the number that I can't remember which position Antonio was in, 14, but I believe it was number 3. He said, no, number 3. And I'm looking, I kind of lean back, going, well, how are you shaking your head? No, you don't see anybody. Then you pop out number 3. I don't know if somebody on his left side, you know, maybe have touched him 3, you know what I'm saying, gave him kind of signal. So I went up on the bridge with my investigator. We stood up on the Chain of Rocks bridge where this allegedly happened, looked over to the Illinois bank. How he can claim he could identify somebody in a lineup that he only saw over on the Illinois side fishing is beyond me to this day. How he could claim he jumped off of that bridge and only was wet up to what is like the chest area.
That's right.
And I mean, if that's true, this boy should be on a nationwide tour demonstrating how you fall or jump from a bridge into the river and somehow your body stops at the waist and you don't plunge straight down. How is it he was able to stop and the girls didn't? Mm. Those two things along made me noble suspicious. When we got to Antonio's certification hearing, the lineup report did not have some of the mitigating statements that he made. I said, hey, hold up. This statement, this is not correct. They had to stop the hearing, go back down and interview McCafferty, I believe that was his name at the time, and redo the statement to include the mitigating statements that Cummings made. After he made that identification again, they whisked him out of there so fast, it wasn't funny. So the thing has stunk to high heaven from day one.
And he's dead now.
And so only thing, I sent Governor Blunt a letter, and I said, you know, the only thing I can hope is that at some point in time, if you kill this guy, your blood is going to be on his hand, and it's going to be on this Cummings guy's hand. And I think if we're long enough, we live long enough, we're going to see one of these days this boy is going to crack. I'm talking about this Cummings dude.
Oh, I do, too. I said that the other day. He is going to crack.
He's going to crack. He's going to kill himself, and it's going to be one of those last-minute, you know, as my criminal professor said, fire insurance is going to try to save his soul from hell by making some kind of last-minute confession, will you forgive me type thing.
Mm-hmm. And no. No, I don't. Thanks for your call.
Take care.
454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. The toll-free long-distance number is 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. And any kind of, every kind of, all kinds of ways, get up and get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. You don't have to travel all the way to the mall to visit your Sears. Why don't you visit the only black-owned and operated Sears located at 3425 Union. That's 3425 Union. Sears, where else? That's right. It's Halloween weekend. That means it's time for the monsters to come out. Monster sale at Sears at 3425 Union. Incredible deals. Incredible deals. Check this out. 12% off of already reduced items. 12% off of all scratched items, 12% off of any kind of floor models that have a little bit of, you know, just a little bit of lovey mistakes. You need to get on down to Sears at 3425 Union, black-owned, black-operated. They have everything that the Sears has at the mall, but it's in your own neighborhood. Get on over to Jerome Williams at Sears at Union and Natural Bridge, 3425 Union. Their monster sale begins October 28th. Don't miss it. Tell them I told you to. Sears, get your shop on. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. You want to hear something hinky? You want to hear something stinky? You want to hear something consistent with this administration? Okay. I think this administration will go down in history as the read the fine print administration. There's a little noted provision in the tax relief package that was put together to aid victims of Hurricane Katrina. And guess what? This little notice provision is shaping up as a windfall for charities. Check that out. Check this out. It allows donors who make cash gifts to almost any charity by the end of this year to deduct an amount equal to virtually 100% of their adjusted gross incomes. What is this? What is this? This is double the normal limit of 50% of income. So fundraisers say that many wealthy Americans are pressing their financial planners in hopes of increasing their giving this year and reducing their tax bills. Some institutions, we're talking about universities, are encouraging big donors to take advantage of the favorable tax treatment and make sizable gifts or fulfill their pledges. Do you hear me? Do you hear me? What this got to do with Katrina? And please don't leave out this part. Don't miss this part. Who pays for the 50% reduction in taxes that we're now not going to get? We pay for that. Some, you know what? You got to give the devil his due sometimes. These boys and girls up here in this administration are on it all, 24/7, all the time. All of the time. They snuck in yet another gift to wealthy folks and wealthy institutions. Based on information from 2002 tax returns, a fundraising consultant whose clients include the American Heart Association, the University of California, L.A., estimates that the provision would spur $4 billion to $10 billion in additional giving this year, but it would result in $1 billion to $3.5 billion in lost revenue for the Treasury, more than $819 million in lost revenue than Congress anticipated. Ain't that some stuff? Ain't that some stuff? A teeny tiny, I'm sure it wasn't that long of a little caveat, a little provision that shapes up to a windfall for charities. And financial consultants out here all over the world are telling their clients, you need to get on this. Check this out. Now, AARP is going to be letting all of their constituents know, let all of its membership know of the provision in its December issue of the magazine. They said that an example they had was, I heard from an elderly gentleman who's going to get $500,000 and doesn't want to pay taxes on it. His income isn't so high, so normally he would have to carry the deduction forward for a number of years, but this changes things for him. Gifts to private foundations and other concerns. The bottom line is that what does this have to do with Katrina, and what does this have to do with helping people that are giving? Four five four oh 400 is my phone number. We're gonna take a break. I'm Liz Brown. This is the Wake Up Call. You need to get to me. We have much to talk about. Stay with me. I'll be back. Residential, 3737 North Kings Highway, 382-2568, 382-2568. Any and all electrical installation and rehab, basic service installation, light fixtures, dusk to dawn lighting, motion sensors, no job is too big, no job is too small. 35 years of experience. Akbar Electric. Give them a call, 382-2568.
This is your wake-up call global news update. Dateline Tokyo. The United States has given in to a demand by Japanese officials not to build an air base on a coral reef on the island of Okinawa. Instead, the Japanese want the new heliport to be constructed inside another American base already on the island. Japanese Foreign Minister Matsumura says that upcoming talks on American military realignment in Japan will lead to reducing the number of American Marines on Okinawa, which currently numbers 14,600. Washington and Tokyo had agreed many years ago to move the Futenmana Air Station to a less crowded place on Okinawa to reduce the military presence on the small island. Residents have complained for a long time about crime, crowding, and noise caused by the bases being there. Protests hit a peak back in 1995 when a local schoolgirl was raped by three U.S. servicemen. And Dateline Washington. The Senate says it wants to investigate how tracts from the hardline Wahhabi Muslim sect got to mosques in the United States. A report came out earlier this year that indicated they may have been distributed by the Saudi Arabian embassy right here in the United States. The Senate subcommittee is to open those hearings this week because the Bush administration has called the distribution of those tracts insightful.
Undersecretary of State Karen Hughes brought the issue up when she met with leaders in Saudi Arabia recently, and it caused quite an uproar. The tracts are said to preach hatred against Christians and Jews. Senator Arlen Specter says the hearings are designed to halt Riyadh's support for terror-aligned institutions and promote cooperation with the U.S. in fighting terrorism. This is your wake-up call, Global News Update.
Before you go to the movies, go to Radio Free St. Louis. Find out what's worth seeing and what's not worth the bother. Join Dave Lenahan and Mark Glass for What's Good New at the Movies, a regular feature of Today's Solutions, Friday afternoons at 4:10 on Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920 WGNU. Also online at www.blacktie-stlewis.com.
It's a story foretold 19 centuries ago, as contemporary as today's news, but you won't see this movie in any theater. You will see it at 7 p.m. Sunday, October 23rd at Trinity Tabernacle in Bridgeton. Left Behind, World at War stars Academy Award winner Louis Gossett Jr., Kirk Cameron, Chelsea Noble, and Gordon Curry in a story based on the bestsellers Left Behind and Tribulation Force. Follow the lives of those left behind on Earth following the rapture of the church and be part of an exciting new kind of outreach, the first motion picture ever to open in churches, not theaters. Proceeds will benefit the growing ministries of Trinity Tabernacle. See Left Behind, World at War, Sunday, October 23rd at 7 p.m. at Trinity Tabernacle, Assembly of God, 11950 Mark Twain Drive in Bridgeton. For more information, call 314-291-8839. That's 314-291-8839.
Hi, this is Brett Rosen with Head Thumping Talk Radio on WGNU. Just letting you know that we are moving to a new time from 10 a.m. to 12 p.m. every Thursday morning, dedicated to making you mad or making you think since 1999. Watching everything
the engineer would move. The Wake Up Call Blanket Drive is set for Friday, November 18th. Volunteers are needed to man the two collection sites at Carver House, 3035 Bell Avenue, and the lobby of the Congress and Senate Building, the home of WGNU, at 265 Union. Blankets to be accepted that morning starting at 6 o'clock. The actual broadcast from Carver House starts at 7. If you can help us help those in need, call the WGNU business office this morning at 454-6660 or email your contact information to revolution@lizbrown.com. All volunteers receive a free second annual Blanket Drive t-shirt as a thank you. A simple answer to rebuilding the Gulf Coast is to trim waste out of the defense budget. But why is Congress afraid to touch the military? Because no one wants to be seen as weak on defense. Monday morning at 7, Lawrence Korb from the Center of Defense Information joins us on the wake-up call with a new report that shows up to $60 billion could be cut out of the $440 billion defense budget without harming a thing. Now, it may not be enough to do the whole job, but it is a great starting point to help Louisiana and Mississippi get back on the road to recovery. We'll look at some other defense programs that could be dropped because they're simply outdated. That's coming up Monday morning at 7 on the award-winning wake-up call. Anywhere in the world at WGNU.net. The award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown.
Turn on television. I'm watching Martin Luther King, who had a dream. Oh, so take this dream and apply it to your life. Even though we know the ghetto's rah-rah, but we got to
keep your head up. This is Liz Brown, living my life as an African and loving it. 454-0400 is my phone number. Get to me. Greg on a cell phone?
Yeah, hi, Liz.
Good morning.
Hey, you know, they're talking about cutting spending now. They want to cut Medicare and Medicaid and food stamps pay for Katrina.
Yeah.
Isn't it the Republicans that have been telling us for years and years that if you reduce taxes, if you cut taxes, it generates more revenue?
Yep.
Why? I called my congressman, Carnahan, and the, I mean the Democratic congressman Carnahan and Clay, and I said, why don't we propose a tax cut? Let's raise the standard deduction for everybody in the country. That'll take poor people off, more poor people off the tax rolls completely,
mm-hmm.
and it'll reduce everybody's taxes,
mm-hmm.
and that will generate more money. We don't need to do any cuts or any offsets or anything. Just cut taxes, and that'll generate more money. Isn't that how it works?
That's exactly how it works. Let's do it.
It works for me.
It works for me.
I talked to, like I said, I called my congressman. I even called the Republican, Todd Akin. They weren't real receptive to it. I don't understand why.
I guess too busy dodging indictments.
Yeah.
Thanks for your call. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. Gary.
Yeah, Liz, I think it's time for impeachment. I don't know about you, but I've looked in Genesis and in Romans both where God instituted capital punishment. Do you think we could impeach God because he instituted capital punishment?
Well, if you look at God as the highest authority and God being allowed to do what God is supposed to do, I think
right.
that nobody would say that you could ever challenge what the highest authority does or even try to do what the highest authority does. And wait a minute, I'm answering your question. So the suggestion that we get to do what God does is, to me, is absurd. And
well,
where does it say that God gave the power to man to murder in the name of government?
No, then by man he will be killed.
That's not the authority to man to kill people. That's not the authority.
No, it is.
And there are plenty of things in the Old Testament that plenty of people. I don't need to tear any page out of the Bible. I don't know how you treat your Bible, but I don't do that.
But
the fact of the matter is that I worry. I truly do. I honestly worry about people that are so insistent upon the ability to be able to kill, and then the same people that are so insistent upon we need to make sure that there are no abortions because we must protect life.
Life.
You don't say you're pro innocent blood. You say that you are pro life. Life is killing.
Right.
It's killing. You're killing somebody, Liz. So now, even in this conversation, you try to wiggle your way out of your own words. You say that you are pro. You are pro. You're still trying to wiggle, whether you brought it up or not. You're trying to wiggle out of it. And shame on you. Shame on you. You're on the wake-up call. Good morning.
Hello, Sister Talker. How you doing?
I'm outstanding.
You know, see what I'm talking about? Forgive them for they know not what they do. Now, you know, black man, black woman of America, we got to understand this thing for what it is. Because, see, look, Lucifer hatched his plot in heaven to dethrone, you know, God, right? Am I right or wrong? That's what he tried to do. But look at what happened. You see what I'm saying? So this is what's going on right now
in
America.
It's a scary thing. It's a scary thing to hear people rage about, and if they're not raging, to be insistent upon their ability to have the freedom to kill people.
Bible she reading out of it, she need to take it and throw it in the trash can because she ain't getting no truth out of nothing that she's trying to understand.
Thanks for your call. You
all right.
454-0400 is my phone number. You're on the wake-up call. Good morning.
Miss Brown.
Yes.
I just seen an article. It didn't elaborate too much on her. It's supposed to be making, the IRS is making some taxes and changes in the tax code, and supposed to be cutting our taxes. You know, every time they cut our taxes, you know what happens. They're fooling with this alternative minimum tax, which actually cost me more money last year, and they're going to change it. And the way I read this, I could be wrong, but I think everybody under $50,000 is going to get a big tax increase. It's the alternative minimum tax.
You know what? I think that you bring up a good issue. I think that we need to do a show on that because there are some efforts going on to meddle around with the tax code and tax deductions. And if the past is any indication, as the past usually is, we will be taken advantage of with this administration, that if they're meddling around with the tax code, it's not going to be helpful for people that make under $50,000 a year.
I would appreciate it if you would do that show, because I'm not that well-versed or knowledged in the tax laws. But the way I read this, and I could be wrong, but the way I read it, it seems like to me that the people under $50,000 under this alternative minimum tax are going to get an increase. I hope you do have that show. Thank you very much.
Thanks for your call. 454-0400 is the phone number. And don't forget, the blanket drive is coming up. It's just a couple weeks away. I need some help. I need you all to volunteer here to work on the second annual blanket drive when the Wake Up Call collaborates with partners with Carver House. November 18th and 19th, we need your help. We need some help on Saturday when we deliver the blankets. We need your help on Friday when we take the blankets in. And what I'm also going to do is I'm going to open up the week before the blanket drive to letting folks come on over to the station and drop off their blankets so that we can accommodate your blankets. And if you need an opportunity to bring the blankets earlier than that, please let me know by calling in while I'm on the air or emailing me at revolution@lizbrown.com. Let me know. We'll come. We will accommodate you. Remember, blankets are $5 for a blanket. You can go get them at a lot of discount stores out here throughout the area. Although it's not cold out here right now, it wasn't cold when we started the blanket drive push last year either. But it sure was cold on the day of the blanket drive, and it was cold all winter long. So we need your help. We need your volunteers. Call at 454-6660. Leave your name and phone number. I will be contacting you. You'll get a free T-shirt, a free second annual blanket drive, Wake Up Call blanket drive, Carver House blanket drive T-shirt for your help and for your assistance. So please, let's give. Let's do it. We're going to do it this year. Do it again this year. I'm Liz Brown. I will be back same time, same place tomorrow. Stay strong.
The hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever. More families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it. A struggle against the common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that all men are created.
WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis, 920 on your AM dial.
The latest from ABC News. I'm Liz White. Harriet Myers asked President Bush to pull her nomination to the U.S. Supreme Court. The White House says he's doing so reluctantly.
She felt that withdrawal was in the best interest of the United States of America. She came to this decision on her own.
Senate Majority Leader Bill Frist got a call from Myers a little while ago.